or state, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days' worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Anybody who thinks it's an intelligent point to tweet out all buildings matter at this point is an idiot. And everybody understands that they're an idiot, or should understand that they're an idiot, and that they're not making a good point about Black Lives Matter or anything else for that matter. But to use 9/11 as an anniversary for divisiveness, to suggest that 9/11 ought to immediately be channeled into a debate about Black Lives Matter is kind of wild. The only thing that makes it not wild is, of course, if you buy into this theory that America is inherently bad, then you end up in the Ta-Nehisi Coates position of writing about the fact that you watched 9/11 happen from your apartment rooftop, smoked pot, and felt nothing. That's something that Ta-Nehisi Coates has actually written about in his books, because America is so systemically terrible that he didn't feel anything while watching 9/11. This is something that he wrote in, I believe, Between the World and Me. If you believe that, then there really is nothing that can hold America together anymore. So if 9/11 doesn't mean anything to you because you weren't born, that's one thing. But if you're old enough to remember 9/11, if you're old enough to remember what it felt like, and you don't still have that churning gut feeling every time you think of the horrors of that day, and you still can't think that, like, why people would fly a flag in the aftermath of 9/11. I remember this. I mean, we all remember this. All the flags that went up all around the United States in solidarity with each other. They have the feeling of brotherhood and sisterhood that came along with 9/11. The final realization that we were all part of the same country, and that it was a country worth upholding, that we are a good country. That when shown against in stark relief with so many other places around the world, including the ideologies of places like Afghanistan and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, that when you're placing the United States in stark relief with any place else on earth, this is an amazing, amazing place with amazing people, heroes, you know, people that don't know other people who they are willing to sacrifice their lives for. We should be reminded of that as we approach a contentious election when it appears that violence in the streets is a real possibility. We should remember all of that. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to the news of the day. But first, a word from our sponsor.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What? Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East. And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrible.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to save his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
Okay, so news of the day. The Democrats continue to block COVID relief. The media are covering for them. So what you've seen is Senate Republicans fail to advance bill. Senate Republicans fail to advance bill. No, that's not what happened here. What actually happened here is that Senate Democrats, who are in the minority, utilized that Jim Crow relic, according to Barack Obama, the Senate filibuster, to filibuster a COVID relief package. Kamala Harris voted in favor of that filibuster. So Democrats used the filibuster to kill a COVID relief package just a few weeks after using that Jim Crow hallmark, the filibuster, in order to kill police reform proposed by Republican Senator Tim Scott. So it seems like Democrats are very much willing to use Jim Crow relics when it serves their interests. They are willing to use any institution of power or get rid of any institution of power in pursuit of their goals, which is one of the reasons why Republicans have very little trust that Democrats are going to abide by any rules of the game when it comes to upholding American institutions. It's one of the reasons why I, among other conservatives, am deeply fearful that Democrats, who have now pledged that they wish to pack the courts, that they wish to get rid of the Senate filibuster, that they wish to add states, could systematically change the nature of American government if they achieve a majority in the Senate and the presidency of the United States in 2020. So why are Democrats doing this? The answer is obvious. They would love to see the economy tank just before the election and ensure that Joe Biden wins election. According to the New York Times, prospects for any additional stimulus to address the coronavirus pandemic's devastating toll before the election darkened considerably on Thursday when a whittled down Republican plan failed in the Senate on a partisan vote. Democrats voted unanimously to block the proposal from advancing, calling it inadequate to meet the mounting needs for federal aid in the latest indication of a lack of political will to reach an agreement, even as critical federal aid for individuals and businesses has run dry. It was a nearly party-line vote whose outcome was never in doubt. The proposal amounted to a fraction of the $1 trillion plan Republicans had offered in negotiation with Democrats, who in turn were demanding more than twice as much. Well, the reason that the Republicans then proposed a slimmed-down bill is they said you can't agree on any of the ancillary stuff in the bill, so let's just at least agree that we should extend some unemployment benefits for a little while. We should make sure that people have enough money to pay their rent for the next month or so. A failure to compromise would leave millions of jobless Americans in potentially dire straits as they exhaust traditional jobless benefits and states run out of additional funds Trump steered to be unemployed by executive order last month. It would also strand a wide swath of small business owners who have endured steep drops in revenue as the pandemic chilled economic activity. Senator Pat Roberts, Republican of Kansas, said, quote, along with the pandemic of COVID-19, we have a pandemic of politics. Looking to the House, or for that matter, our colleagues across the aisle, is a sort of dead-end street. This is right. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, Republican, he said Congress isn't going to pass more COVID-19 relief before the election. And again, the reason for this is because Democrats have decided that they will benefit from a lack of relief at this point. Remember, Democrats have never met a spending bill they don't like, except for this one, because the spending bill that they don't like is the one that would presumably help Trump have a possibility of winning re-election or help Republicans who are in very contentious Senate races. There are a lot of very close Senate races around the nation right now. So combine the alarmism that Democrats are performing about COVID and the possibility of a second wave in New York, New Jersey, with their unwillingness to push forward relief. And it's pretty obvious what is going on here. People are playing politics. The media are helping out by immediately running headlines about how the Republicans have failed here. It's the Republicans who, it's not the Democrats who are obstructionists. It's the Republicans who failed. Meanwhile, the same media are pushing the idea that the virus is continuing to be a complete threat to all Americans of all sorts. The New York Times ran with a research letter from Harvard that talked about how COVID-19 is, quote, a life-threatening disease in people of all ages. That research letter from Harvard found that among the 3,222 young adults hospitalized with COVID-19, 88 died, about 2.7%. One in five required intensive care. One in 10 needed a ventilator to assist with breathing. Among those surveyed, 99 patients, 3%, could not be sent home from the hospital or were transferred to facilities for ongoing care or rehabilitation. The study, quote, establishes that COVID-19 is a life-threatening disease in people of all ages. Okay, now, the reason that this study is incredibly stupid is because, of course, number one, the people who are young that you are talking about are largely people with pre-existing conditions. Over one-third were obese, one-quarter extremely so. Roughly one in five had diabetes, one in seven had hypertension. But more than that, you're talking about the number of people who got COVID who were then hospitalized. You're talking about a subset of a subset of a subset. You're talking about young people who got COVID, who were then hospitalized for COVID, and who had pre-existing conditions. Yes, it turns out that a disease can be very dangerous to people who are already hospitalized. But the question is, how many of those people are actually hospitalized in the first place? When you're talking about young people, the answer is not very many. Young people are not being hospitalized at a high rate when it comes to COVID-19. But again, there's a narrative that is attempting to be driven by the media, and that is COVID is an ever-present threat, particularly to everybody in the United States, including young people. This is an anti-data perspective. It's the reason why the AP ran a story yesterday suggesting that three teachers had died because schools reopened. None of the three teachers actually died as a result of contact with students. So you're just seeing alarmism in the media combined with Democratic intransigence on providing any sort of relief before the election. The conclusion they want you to draw is that this is an unchecked pandemic about which the federal government is doing nothing. And that, of course, is Donald Trump's fault. Now, this has been driven forward, of course, by Trump's foolhardy decision to speak with Bob Woodward and then say on tape to Bob Woodward that he downplayed the pandemic. As I said yesterday, the narrative that is being driven by this is actually not true. So the narrative that the Democrats are trying to drive is that Trump lied, people died. Right? That Trump knew full well in early February this thing was airborne and super dangerous, way more dangerous than the flu, and then he lied about it for months. Hey, this assumes a level of knowledge and intent on the part of President Trump that I think is utterly not in evidence. As Bob Woodward himself recognized, the reason he didn't report Trump's comments at the time is because he didn't know whether Trump was puffing or knew what the hell he was talking about, because literally no other health official was saying that this thing was airborne and multiple times as deadly as the flu in early February. That was not a thing that was being said. Okay, nonetheless, Jonathan Carl of ABC News questioned Trump about that yesterday. He said, why did you lie to the American people? And as we'll see, the Biden campaign is already running ads on this.
Why did you lie to the American people, and why should we trust what you have to say
now?
That's
a terrible question, and the phraseology. I didn't lie. What I said is we have to be calm. We can't be panicked. I knew that the tapes were there. These were a series of phone calls that we had, mostly phone calls. And Bob Woodward is somebody that I respect just from hearing the name for many, many years. Not knowing too much about his work, not caring about his work, but I thought it would be interesting to talk to him for a period of, you know, calls. So we did that.
Okay, so again, why would you speak to Bob Woodward? Because you thought it was interesting? Like, this is just setting a trap for yourself. And then yesterday, of course, Trump then talked about how much TV he had watched, which is always a bad look in the middle of a pandemic or a presidential election. He talked about all the shows that he had watched over the past 24 hours, which, of course, provided fodder for Joe Biden.
I watch some of the shows. I watched Liz McDonald. She's fantastic. I watched Fox Business. I watched Lou Dobbs last night, Sean Hannity last night, Tucker last night, Laura. I watched Fox and Friends in the morning. You watch these shows. You don't have to go too far into the details. They cover things that are, it's really an amazing thing.
Okay, so coming up, as we'll see, this became fodder for a Biden ad. Again, the entire Biden campaign is predicated on the fact that he can stay in his basement and just rip on Trump and the media will do his heavy lifting for him. Because when he steps out of the basement, things get very ugly for him. We'll get to Joe Biden in just 1 second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Right now, we all might feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone with smaller social circles, feelings of loneliness and isolation can feel overwhelming. But there's something we can all do to help. Connect with your older loved one virtually and have the conversation of a lifetime with StoryCorps Connect. Anyone can conduct an interview, and every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history. Connect, honor, share at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden, his entire campaign has been predicated on Orange Man Bad, and he continued that trend yesterday. He put out an ad about Trump. Why is Trump watching so much TV? And again, all Trump has to do is not just deprive Biden of the air, and Biden will keel over politically speaking. That because once he actually has to talk, as we'll see, Joe Biden gets himself in all sorts of trouble, all sorts of hot water. Anyway, here is the Biden ad against Trump.
Watch some of the shows. I watched Liz McDonald. She's fantastic. I watched Lou Dobbs last night, Sean Hannity last night, Tucker last night, Laura.
And then it runs a counter of U.S. COVID deaths yesterday versus minutes of TV watched. And then it concludes minutes of television watched, 480 U.S. COVID deaths yesterday, 1,176. Now, I have a question. If Trump were watching less TV, would fewer people have died? The answer, of course, is no. But again, this is Trump kind of shooting himself in the foot. Now, the reason I keep saying that Trump has to avoid giving Biden this sort of air, this sort of oxygen, is because when Biden is deprived of the Trumpian oxygen upon which he lives, he keels over. So yesterday, Joe Biden had a rough day in terms of interviews. There's a reason that on 9/11, he has decided he's not going to politic. He says he's pulled all of his ads. I've seen no evidence he's pulled all of his ads thus far on 9/11. He says he's not going to do any interviews today, which maybe that's about 9/11, or maybe it's about the fact that he doesn't like doing interviews. I mean, the past several days, he has done like one interview, and it went really, really poorly. In any case, here's how the interviews went yesterday for Joe Biden. So, in the middle of an interview, he mocked Trump over Trump making claims about Biden's health, and he lost his train of thought in the middle of mocking Trump for going after his mental health. Here was Joe Biden.
I mean, this idea of, you know, slow Joe. I shouldn't laugh about it because, anyway, Donald Trump, just look at us both, watch us, and determine whether or not you think I'm misleading anyone, not you personally, but the public. You know, look at me, judge me based on, I know what the job takes.
Yeah, slow Joe. Why would they call me slow Joe? And what's over here? Is there pudding? Is it early bird time? Yeah, that's a good look. Hey, Brett Baer asked Biden's spokesperson, because this has come up recently, whether Biden is using a teleprompter during interviews, because there's an interview that he was doing with some labor union in which somebody asked him a question, and he literally says in the interview, I want you to scroll up. Okay, now, as somebody who operates with a teleprompter, right, I don't use this teleprompter on the show. I'll tell you exactly when I use the teleprompter. Okay, the only time I ever use the teleprompter on the show is if I'm reading an ad, which you'll know, or if I'm making a pitch for the subscribers, which you'll know, or at the very beginning, like that little intro at the beginning of the show. Right? That's the only time I use the teleprompter. All the other times, I'm not using the teleprompter. I'm just staring into camera. And when I do interviews, I'm not using the teleprompter either, because during interviews, that'd be incredibly distracting and very weird. No one uses a teleprompter during interviews. That's called cheating, right? You don't do that. But Joe Biden's spokesperson was asked whether Biden uses a teleprompter during interviews, and he has literally no answer. It's very, very awkward stuff.
Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign.
Well, yeah, they're
point.
Using
and
it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
They talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have
strategy.
An answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every day because they don't have a coherent argument for why Donald Trump deserves re-election, deserves 4 more years. We know that he lied to the American people. We know that he has not shown leadership during this crisis, and they are desperate to throw anything they can against the wall to try to distract from that fact.
I understand, but you can't answer the question.
Correct, because the fact is that Joe Biden is using teleprompter during interviews because he is in declining mental health. We all know this. His decline is obvious to everyone, and that's why his interviews are going really, really badly. So he did an interview with Jake Tapper yesterday in which he did a bunch of stuff that really was not beneficial to Joe Biden. So he suggested that he tried to deny Trump credit for renegotiating NAFTA. So he had said over and over that he wanted to renegotiate NAFTA. They never did it. And Tapper was like, well, Trump did it. Shouldn't you give him credit? And Biden's like, no. And Tapper looks at him incredulously. It's pretty amazing TV.
Now, when you ran for president and when Barack Obama ran for president, you both said you would renegotiate NAFTA. You didn't. He did. Does he deserve credit for that?
No, I think, remember, he wasn't the one that pushed that particular one that passed. The House amended the bill.
He renegotiated NAFTA and you didn't, is the point. I mean,
because we had a Republican Congress that wouldn't go along with us renegotiating it.
But doesn't he deserve some credit for that? It's better. The USMCA is better than NAFTA.
It is better than NAFTA.
Yeah. That pause from Jake Tapper is everything. Like, can you believe this guy? It's pretty amazing. So good stuff right there from Joe Biden. Speaking of good stuff from Joe Biden, he also said that it was not a bad idea to give China most favored nation status when it came to world trade, which is a weird take considering that China has used its most favored nation status to cheat on trade, to strengthen its own regime, and to ensure that it can continue with its perpetuation of tyranny in Hong Kong as well as in Xinjiang province. Here is Jake Tapper questioning Biden, and Biden again making a boo-boo.
A lot of people think that allowing China into the World Trade Organization, which he supported, extending most favored nation status to China, which he supported, that those steps allowed China to take advantage of the United States by using our own open trade deals against us.
No.
Do you think in retrospect that you were naive about China?
No. Here's the thing. In the context of that, we want China to grow.
We wanted China to grow. I mean, if Trump can't use that in an ad, we wanted China to grow as China, meanwhile, unleashes the coronavirus on the rest of the world and completely destroys Hong Kong's freedoms and subjects 1.5 million Uyghur Muslims to genocidal tyranny. Yeah, good job there, Joe. Again, this is why Trump has to deprive him of the oxygen of Trump. Right? You just got to stop with the Trump stuff. If you stop with the Trump stuff, all you get is this crazy old bat. Coming up, more of Joe Biden falling apart. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Rob. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In September, we're talking to all your favorite archetypes, everyone from law enforcement to stage performers. And in October, we're celebrating Halloween all month long by looking at different literary monsters every episode.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighty, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
This is Carl Bott and Dr. Paul DeNuca. During the Civil War, Abe Lincoln said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand."
We can get through difficult times if we pull together as a country and a community. What can you do? We invite you to join a grassroots effort to unite our community through blood donations on September 11th, the National Day of Service and Remembrance. We already have 17 organizations committed to raise at least 170 blood donations. One blood donation saves 3 lives and raises the spirit of the donor. We need you to lift our community up.
Find us on Facebook at the event page, Equality, Unity, and Love, or call Vitalant at 243-0160 to make an appointment. Remember, September 11th, the National Day of Service. Call Vitalant at 243-0160 and make a difference.
We are all in this together.
Yes, you like him. So Donald Trump needs to remove himself from the stage, right? Accent stage left, followed by Bear. Like, get off the stage right now, President Trump, and let Joe Biden be the center of attention. You don't have to be the center of attention. The more Joe Biden is the center of attention, the worse he looks. Now, meanwhile, the entire culture has decided to press forward with its narratives on racism because they think that this is the way they're going to drive Trump from the stage, is by suggesting that America is systemically racist across the board, and every cultural institution will be hijacked in order to push forward this particular push. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, a word from our sponsor.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What? Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East. And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrorism.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to save his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
Meanwhile, the culture wars continue apace. So last night was the NFL opener. I can assume that the ratings are going to suck this year just like they sucked last year. It turns out that when you politicize everything people want to remain apolitical, people get uptight. And I understand all of the folks out there on the left who keep saying, you know, you keep saying you just want sports to be sports. When were sports ever just sports? When it didn't infuse the field of play. That is the answer. You want the actual answer? The answer is when it didn't infuse the field of play. Athletes always spoke out about stuff. Charles Barkley was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in the early 90s wearing, like, chains, suggesting that he was a slave, right? I mean, like, this has been a part of American sport for a long time. When Americans start to get uptight is when they sit down to watch the game and then they are preached to. That is not the same thing as athletes speaking out. Athletes have always spoken out, and that's fine. They're Americans. They get to speak out just like everybody else. Doesn't mean that we have to take their words with any level of seriousness. Like, I don't think LeBron James actually knows anything about politics. I think he knows very, very little about politics. That is not his field of expertise. I know nothing about rebounding, and LeBron James knows nothing about politics. But that doesn't mean that when I turn on a game and I am preached at by a bunch of people who know nothing about politics, that's not alienating. Right? Within the confines of the court, within the confines of the field, people expect to get a product that has to do with the court or the field, not a bunch of propaganda about particular political points of view. This is why the NFL is so unbelievably stupid for getting super political on the field of play. So the NFL has decided that they're going to put giant letters reading end racism in end zones, which, of course, will totally end racism. Like, all the white supremacists out there, they're going to look at the end zones of the NFL, and they're going to be like, wow, that end zone says to end racism, done. Hiring discrimination, finished. Right? Redlining, soft redlining, self-segregation, it's over, man, because that says end racism in the end zone. Okay, what this really is corporate virtue signaling so that the NFL will continue to make bucks from people who purchase based on political likes and dislikes. What it really ends up doing, of course, is removing all ability to have just normal kind of non-political water cooler talk, which is kind of important, right? When you hang out with your friends, you spend most of your time talking about politics, or did it used to be that football was like the go-to at Thanksgiving when you had nothing else to talk about with your crazy uncle, regardless of your political side? Now, you couldn't talk about anything, so you talked about how much the Lions suck. And that was the way this used to work. Not anymore. So Roger Goodell made a huge mistake by first allowing Colin Kaepernick to kneel and then allowing everybody else to kneel. He should have said right from the outset the same thing that David Stern said back in the 90s. The national anthem is part of the game. You're going to stand for it. America is a good place. This doesn't seem particularly controversial. And if you want to say what you want to say off the field, enjoy. They have every right to say what you want to say off the field. On the field, you're working for the business, which, by the way, is how every other business in America functions. Okay, but apparently not for athletes. So Roger Goodell has decided to cave to this sort of nonsense, and the predictable result is fewer people are going to tune in to watch the games. Here's Roger Goodell overtly politicizing the NFL now.
You can talk about so many things that have happened to help our country get to a better place, and sports has been a big, big influence on that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not here to make political statements. We're here to help make our communities better.
So you're not here to make a political take. It's not political when you put end racism in end zones, the underlying supposition being that racism is indeed the chief factor in American life. It's not political, as it turns out, when you allow the players to put on their helmets the names of various supposed victims of American racism. So I guess we'll get a Michael Brown helmet, even though he was a person who attacked a police officer. We'll probably get a Jacob Blake helmet, despite the fact that he was an alleged rapist. We'll probably get a Rayshard Brooks helmet, despite the fact that Rayshard Brooks attacked two police officers and tried to tase them after stealing a taser from one of them. Like, how's the NFL going to screen for that? I remember when the NFL wouldn't allow Dallas players to pay tribute to the cops after several cops were shot a few years back. Okay, but it's not political, you see, when Roger Goodell pushes this, except for how political it is. So this all broke out into the open last night in a couple of ways. So the Miami Dolphins, who will go 2-14 this year, as is their wont, they stayed in the locker room for the national anthem, and then they released a statement about why they were staying in the locker room for the national anthem.
We need owners with influence and pockets bigger than ours
to call up officials
and flex political power
when education is not determined by where we reside.
And we have the means to purchase what the doctor prescribed.
And you fight for prison reform and innocent lives.
And you repair the communities that were tossed to the side.
And you admit you gained from it and you swallowed your pride.
And when greed is not the compass, but love is the guide.
And when the courts don't punish skin color, but punish the crime.
Until then, we'll just skip the long production and stay inside.
Oh, so bad poetry is what they're going to do. I also do enjoy how every single video that is ever cut by celebrities has them speaking in three-word phrases and then cutting to another celeb. It really makes a huge difference. Also, I'm amused by NFL players who are among the highest earners in America suggesting that only the owners have systemic power or money to actually help heal all of this stuff. And their big stand is going to be what? To stay indoors for the national anthem because the national anthem is super bad? America is to blame for all of the problems in American life. It's America and America's systems. Okay, so this, again, took sort of center stage last night. The Kansas City Chiefs were playing the Houston Texans. They did this in Kansas City. They had some socially distanced crowds there. A couple, that is like 17,000 fans showed up in Kansas City. And the players before the game decided to link arms in a show of unity. Now, I know that there are some people who think that this is, you know, this is better than kneeling for the anthem. It is better than kneeling for the anthem. I literally don't understand what the show of unity is in favor of or against. Like, racism bad. Yeah, I think we all agree on that. But if this idea is that you're making a show of courage by standing against racism. Also, death bad. Cancer bad. Can we get some shows of solidarity? then the underlying implication is what people object to, which is that America is a deeply racist country, and that if you don't stand, then you are obviously okay with racism. So people started booing this, and some people were shouting Trump 2020, and this led everybody in the sports media to get very, very upset, of course. What's really going to happen is people are just going to turn off, because they don't like being called implicit racist if they don't enjoy being preached at about their evil racism for not supporting X, Y, or Z. There was also the Denver Broncos put out a photo of their players going out to some sort of rally that said, if you ain't with us, you against us. And nobody knows exactly what they're supposed to be with or against. But here's my basic rule. If somebody ever says that to me, I'm against you. That is my basic rule. If you ever say, if you're not with us, you're against us, I'm against you. Because I'm not going to be blackmailed into that sort of ideological virtue signaling, that sort of partisan virtue signaling. It's not just sports, of course. It also happens along the lines of entertainment. So Netflix's CEO was out there propagandizing. You may have noticed that during the Black Lives Matter movement, Netflix began to propagandize on its main screen. You know, they're putting forward black stories. And again, a lot of these movies are good. I've seen a lot of these movies. But the idea that Netflix is making a big difference by pushing education via movies. I'm sorry. This is just sure it is. So here was the head of Netflix talking about the consequences of slavery and how bad America is. This is a very, very rich man talking about the evils of the American system, of course.
As a consequence of slavery, Jim Crow, and housing policy, black families in America have about one-tenth of the wealth of white families. If we're going to start to close that economic and power gap, we need black banks to be able to invest in the black community. If every major corporation takes 1% of their cash and deposits it in a black bank, it will be transformative in that sector.
Okay, well, actually, the reason that people can't get loans typically has more to do with income and ability to pay back loans than the race of the people giving the loans. And the fact remains that no matter who owns the banks are not going to give loans to people who are unlikely to pay back the loans. And even if you take your money and you put it in a black bank, unless the black bank is poorly run, it's not going to give loans to people who are unlikely to pay back the loans. Right? Banks are in the business of making loans that they expect to receive income on. That is literally what they do. Which does bring up this kind of corporate virtue signaling does bring up this is the 50th anniversary of an essay that was written by Milton Friedman that is now getting all sorts of flack. I'll get to that in a second. First, I just want to make one more example of this. Lululemon, you want to talk about corporations virtue signaling and making everything political? Lululemon put out a poster. I'm not kidding. A workshop, September 17th. Okay, a workshop to unveil historical erasure and resist capitalism. This is a real thing. Resist capitalism. Lululemon. The people who charge $100 for yoga pants for suburban rich white ladies. They want to decolonize gender and resist capitalism. Okay, so number one, I don't think you can decolonize gender through yoga pants. Yoga pants seem kind of gendered. Just going to put that out there. For all the dudes in the audience, they know what I'm talking about. Turns out that yoga pants, guys kind of into them. Not wearing them, looking at them. That's just the reality of life. Okay, but beyond that, Lululemon resisting capitalism is it's a hell of a statement from Lululemon. I don't believe them. I don't believe them. Coming up, why exactly are all these corporations virtue signaling? I have an answer. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19. Those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
In times of fear, World Vision is there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've been standing with kids and families through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and helping rebuild lives. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're...
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, some on the left are really, really upset today because it's the 50th anniversary of a famous essay by Milton Friedman in which he pushes what's called shareholder capitalism. And he said that the basic job of a corporation is to pursue profit on behalf of its shareholders. Now, Milton Friedman was not an advocate of corporations engaging in regulatory capture, right, trying to set up monopolies. He was not an advocate of corporations trying to set regulatory standards such that no one else could get into business. He was not in favor of people violating labor laws. And that's not what Milton Friedman was talking about. What he was talking about is that when a corporation decides to virtue signal with somebody else's money, they're either taking money away from the shareholders or from their workers or from the consumers whose prices they have to increase. That the job of a corporation is to provide goods and services at the best possible price to the most possible consumers and to pay its employees what they deserve on the basis of making that sort of money. And competition ensures that the wages go up, which, by the way, they have. Because when you have multiple companies competing for the same workers, then the wages go up. Okay, this is now considered very bad. And so the New York Times Magazine put together an entire issue, an entire compendium on the evils of shareholder capitalism. Because the real essence of corporations should be social do-gooderism. All I want from my corporations is that they give me the products and services I want at a price that I am willing to pay. That is really what I'm looking for from them. And that they pay their employees what their employees deserve on the open market. That's pretty much it. But Anand Garadhas, who writes for New York Times Magazine, he has an incredible piece in New York Times Magazine talking about the evils of shareholder capitalism. He says, today in America, somebody will be laid off right after his or her company announced record earnings. Someone's hours will be cut without notice. Someone's water will be poisoned by fracking. And among the pantheon of villains they can thank is Milton Friedman. Okay, Milton Friedman was not in favor of environmental degradation. Okay, in terms of cutting somebody's hours, that may be necessary in order to ensure that consumers still get the best possible price in a competitive market. Okay, but this really goes to what you think the purpose of an economy is. And this is something that actually spans the gamut right to left. There are a lot of people on the right who believe that the purpose of an economy is to, quote unquote, create jobs or provide meaning. That is not what an economy is for. An economy is to preserve property rights and get you the best products and services at a price you are willing to pay consensually. That's what a market is for. That is all the things a market is for. It is not to provide you meaning. It is not to provide you joy. It is not designed in order to provide you your purpose in life. That's supposed to be provided by social institutions, by family, by all the things that provide you meaning. And the market is not designed to, quote unquote, create jobs. The market is designed to create jobs as a side product of creating goods and services. Right? That is what a market is designed to do. But everybody wants to turn the market into a human tool. This is why it drives me up a wall when I hear conservatives, you know, people on the right, the kind of common good conservatives, talk about, well, you know, the markets weren't designed with human needs in forefront position. Well, The markets weren't designed, period. The market is based on a certain basic human truth. Your labor belongs to you, and you get to alienate it as you see fit. That's the entire thing. And property rights in your labor deserve to be protected. That's the whole market. It's just a recognition that you as an individual have rights. That is what a market is. It is not a system, quote-unquote, designed. It is not, quote-unquote, designed to achieve particular ends. It is a wonderful byproduct of that system that it happens to achieve particular ends. But it is a moral system because it assumes that you have control over your own labor and you can alienate it and make deals with others and engage in consensual back and forth with other people. But according to Anand Garadhadas, Friedman criticizes business people from straying from their lane, making money, and worrying about social good. Window dressing. Business people should not assume, quote-unquote, governmental functions of tending to the public welfare. And then he says, on that point, I actually agree. But here's the thing. Friedman militantly condemns the business person who enters the public realm to be charitable, to be kind to employees, to invest in the commons, because he wants all of these functions to be left to government. Okay, well, but that is the, I mean, that's kind of right. I mean, if a corporation takes money and then takes the money and just gives it away, they are presumably taking it from shareholders who have invested their money, or they're upping prices in order to pay for that, or they're taking the money away from their workers. Those are the only sorts of money that comes into a corporation. What this really is an argument that capitalism is bad and corporations should run the world. It's amazing. The same people who say that corporations are evil also say that they want corporations to donate to their favorite social justice causes. Corporations who fall for this are out of their minds, because these same people are going to come after your corporations full scale. By the way, Anand Giridhar's, his piece in the New York Times Magazine was so crazy that the New York Times Magazine had to cut it. Okay, here's the end of the piece. Quote, Milton Friedman's legacy is tragic. I am not being hyperbolic. I am being totally literal because I've seen their faces and have told their stories. When I say that a great many people needlessly suffered and died because he lived, great many people needlessly suffered and died because Milton Friedman lived. Milton Friedman's economic program was adopted more and more broadly over the course of the latter half of the 20th century, raising literally billions of people from abject poverty, slicing excessive poverty on planet Earth by up to 80% over the last several decades, ensuring free trade, ensuring property rights. And all the New York Times Magazine can come up with is, well, probably he should have told corporations to engage in a virtue signaling. Okay, speaking of bad messaging, so there have been a bunch of wildfires in California. We can tell that there are a bunch of bad wildfires in California because we can look out the windows out here, and the sun looks particularly orange. It looks like something, as people have noted, out of Blade Runner 2049. It is a really, really weird feeling to walk outside and the entire sky is covered with smoke. It is not completely unprecedented. We've had this, you know, every other summer probably for several years. The scale of the fires that are happening right now is pretty radical compared to recent years. This has led Democrats to immediately move into full pagan territory. So here was Nancy Pelosi yesterday suggesting that the wildfires are happening because, quote unquote, Mother Earth is angry. Here is supposedly devout Catholic Nancy Pelosi talking about the anger of Mother Earth, which is weird. Here's Nancy Pelosi.
We have these fires in California and in the West. 16 people have died in Washington, Oregon, and California, including a firefighter and a one-year-old baby. Our firefighters have been so very, very courageous. Now we're again breaking records. Mother Earth is angry. She's telling us, whether she's telling us with hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, fires in the West, whatever it is, that the climate crisis is real and has an impact.
Okay, so it is not Mother Earth being angry. Climate change does have an impact on the severity of wildfires, but the major severity of wildfires is due to bad forest management. Michael Schellenberger writes over at Forbes magazine, it is not the case that California's fires have grown more apocalyptic every year, as the New York Times reported. In fact, in 2019 saw a remarkably small amount of acreage burned, just 280,000 acres compared to 1.3 million and 1.6 million in 2017 and 2018, respectively. John Keeley, a leading forest scientist, says, I see the current California fires as a normal event, just not one that happens every year. He said, on July 30th, 2008, we had massive fires throughout Northern California due to a series of lightning fires in the middle of the summer. It's not an annual event, but it's also not an unusual event. In fact, if you look at areas burned in California, during prehistoric times, many, many more acres were burned in California. In fact, Keeley notes that since 1960, the variation in spring and summer temperatures explained 50% of the variation in fire frequency and intensity from one year to the next. But the half century since 1960 is the same period in which the U.S. government promoted, mostly out of ignorance, suppression of regular fires that most forests need to allow for new growth. It's not just right-wing sources saying this. ProPublica has an article by Elizabeth Weil pointing out that the prevention of megafires requires that you allow smaller fires to actually happen, and they have not allowed it to happen every year. So instead, quote, we keep doing overzealous fire suppression across California landscapes where the fire poses little risk to people and structures. As a result, wildland fuels keep building up. At the same time, the climate grows hotter and drier, then boom, the inevitable. The wind blows down a power line, or lightning strikes dry grass, and an inferno ensues. This week, we've seen both the second and third largest fires in California history. So, yes, prescribed and managed burns that have been completely ignored by both the federal and the state government, that would be the major reason why you're seeing these massive mega fires. So, again, government mismanagement has a lot to do with what we are seeing in California. And the sort of paganistic Mother Earth is angry with us. That's why we're seeing all this. You see this also when there's a hurricane. So when Jim Inhofe brings a snowball to the floor of the Senate and he says global warming isn't happening, people mock him. When there's a hurricane and everybody on the left goes, this is because hurricanes are becoming so much more severe thanks to global warming. Nobody has the heart to point out the reason that hurricanes are more damaging is because there is more human structure in the way of those hurricanes, not because the hurricanes are either more frequent or more damaging in and of themselves. All righty, we'll see you here on Monday. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRoxford. President Trump and his Democratic rival Joe Biden marked the 19th anniversary of the September 11th attacks at memorials today. The president spoke at the Shanksville, Pennsylvania site where hijacked Flight 93 crashed in a field, and he paid tribute to the men and women on board who fought till the bitter end.
The only thing that stood between the enemy and a deadly strike at the heart of American democracy was the courage and resolve of 40 men and women, the amazing passengers and crew of Flight 93.
Vice President Mike Pence visited a New York event. Senator Kamala Harris spoke a few miles from the Pentagon. Biden also appeared at Shanksville, where he met with some folks. He also attended a event at Ground Zero. In a sidebar, a judge has ruled two members of the royal family in Saudi Arabia will have to answer questions about who planned the attacks. Hundreds of firefighters battling large wildfires up in the northwest, and those wildfires up and down the west coast are also fouling up the air.
The smoke and the flames send particles in the air.
It weakens the lungs' defenses.
Dr. Afif El-Hassan with the American Lung Association says the particles make the lungs more vulnerable.
It can make it easier to get ill from a virus or other type of infection.
That includes the coronavirus and the flu.
If someone's an asthmatic, someone has other chronic lung disease, heart disease, the increased air pollution can be a problem for them as well.
The doctor says even healthy people are vulnerable. His suggestion, stay inside and use air filters.
Keep the air in their houses as clean as possible.
The smoke is expected to linger through the weekend. I'm Ed Donahue.
Check out the latest news. Read the best analysis, both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Fifth Season Financial is a licensed lender, not available in all states. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com for details.
Are you or a loved one suffering financial hardship as a result of an advanced stage illness like cancer, Alzheimer's, or ALS? Are the financial side effects of your medical fight reducing your quality of life and causing stress and worry? Did you know that you could be eligible for a special loan to access funds locked up in your life insurance policy? Text the word LIFE to 411-411 now. Fifth Season may be able to help you address your financial needs through our Funds for Living program. This simple-to-use program helps you access value that is locked up in your life insurance policy by lending you money against the face amount of your policy. This loan is not like other loans where you need to make monthly payments, and it only gets repaid out of the proceeds of the life insurance policy. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and get approved quickly. Fifth Season Financial cares, and we're there for you for life. Text LIFE to 411-411. Text LIFE to 411-411.
Another Arab nation's agreed to normalize ties with Israel.
President Trump made the announcement in the Oval Office.
Bahrain will fully normalize its diplomatic relations with Israel.
It's the latest development in the Trump administration's diplomatic push to fully integrate the Jewish state into the Middle East.
It's just a very historic day, a very important day, and so interesting that it's on 9/11.
Like the recent UAE agreement, the Bahrain-Israel deal will normalize diplomatic, commercial, security, and other relations between the two countries. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Nicolas Maduro said today Venezuelan authorities captured a U.S. spy targeting a pair of refineries on the North Caribbean coast as the nation, once wealthy from oil, is gripped by deep gas shortage. The spy, Maduro alleged, was a Marine who had served as a CIA operative in Iraq. News and analysis at townhall.com. House Democrats are investigating a new whistleblower complaint that alleges top leaders at the Department of Homeland Security repeatedly sought to politicize intelligence in order to appease President Trump.
Brian Murphy, a former acting undersecretary of the agency's Office of Intelligence and Analysis, said in a whistleblower complaint that political appointees sought to modify or suppress vetted intelligence to match and support Mr. Trump's public remarks on various issues. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff is subpoenaing Murphy to appear for a deposition on September 21st. The GOP-led Senate Intelligence Committee has not stated its intentions, but a source familiar said the panel plans to examine the complaint. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
For the second time this month, Hyundai recalling some SUVs because they say they can catch fire. 180,000 Tucson SUVs from 2019 through 2021 are being recalled. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
This way is really horrifying. I actually watched the film last night because I like to watch the film before I comment on it. And so I wanted to give you a little bit more of a nuanced take on what exactly that film constitutes. So I have some complex thoughts about this film, Cuties. Now, Cuties is a film that first made headlines on Netflix because the poster for Cuties is supremely disturbing the way that Netflix originally put it out. So Netflix put out a poster of these four little girls. I mean, and they are little. They're 11 years old. Okay, and as the father of two daughters under the age of seven, I can say that the way these girls were dressed was perverse and disgusting and pedophilic. And they are dressed completely inappropriately and horrifically, and they are posing in very sexual images and all this. It's gross, and Netflix had to take down the poster correctly. Okay, then there's the film. Okay, now, many things can be true about the film simultaneously. One, the themes of the film are why over-sexualization of children are bad. That is the actual theme of the film. Okay, the honest question to be asked about the film is when you cross the line, and this has been a long debated question in film, when you cross the line between depiction and exploitation. This has been a discussion in American film really going back to the end of the Hays Code, when you started seeing movies like A Clockwork Orange, and people were saying, okay, this shows a pretty graphic rape scene. Is that exploitation and pushing of rape, or is it actually condemnation of rape? You've seen this in the context of violence, where ultra-violent movies are very often considered glorifications of the violence rather than condemnations of it or mere depictions of it. And so people get very upset about all this. This film falls squarely into that category. I think you can certainly make a fair case that the director in this particular film directed the camera in disgusting ways at 11-year-old children. That not only can you make that case, I think that case is fairly obvious from the actual footage of the film. The question is whether the director is doing that in order to make you uncomfortable with the way these kids are being depicted, because that is part of a pop culture in which they are in which they are submerged. So the reason that I bring this up is because I think a lot of the people who watched this film, who watched the clips of the film, didn't actually watch the film, and they gave hot takes based on this. So this is why I'm going to provide a little bit of nuance, because I actually spent the time yesterday of watching this film, and it is indeed incredibly disturbing and upsetting and difficult to watch. So The clip that was making the rounds yesterday was this clip of these little girls dancing in very, very sexual ways. Okay, these kids are 11. Two of them are of African extraction or Arab extraction. One is from Senegal. I'm not sure where the other one is from in the movie. And then two of them are white, French. Again, this is a French movie. To explain the context of this clip, I have to explain the plot of the movie. So the plot of the movie is that there is a little girl. Her name is Emmy. She's 11 years old, and she is a Muslim girl who is living in a fundamentalist Islamic family in Paris. Her parents, her mom is in the movie. Her mom is being forced to accept that the dad is going back to Senegal in order to bring a second wife, right? We find this out 15 minutes into the movie that they've reserved a bedroom for the second wife. And that this little girl is being brought up in a culture that says that polygamy is good and that women should be forced to accept it thanks to the whim of Allah. Okay, this is made very, very clear in the film. This is not me, you know, as a quote-unquote Islamophobe saying that. Okay, I'm not an Islamophobe, number one, but beyond that, that is not what the film says, right? So the film is making the point that radical fundamentalist Islamic culture is anti-woman, which happens to be obviously true, right? Any culture that says that one wife should be forced to accept another wife is an anti-woman culture, right? That monogamy is one of the great hallmarks of Judeo-Christian civilization in the West. Okay, so she lives in this radical fundamentalist Islamic household, and she's being forced to accept as the daughter of one woman that she's going to have like a new stepmom, basically, because daddy is off in Senegal bringing back the wife. Dad is not present the entire film. Upset with her own culture, she begins to engage with a highly sexualized group of young 11-year-old girls. The point of this girls' group is that they are bad people, right? That they've been completely misled by the culture. The parents are not there in any way, shape, or form. They're basically being raised by the internet. The point of the film is that these girls are being raised by the internet. And there are several scenes that prove this, right? That these girls are ignorant about sex, that they don't know anything about sex, that all they know about sex is stuff that they are learning online. There's a scene where they're talking about the actual biological function of sex, and they literally have no idea what they're talking about. There's a scene in which one of the girls finds a used condom in a forest where they're hanging out, and she blows it up like a balloon because she literally has no idea what it is, and all the other girls freak out. Right? These are little girls. They're 11. They're ignorant about sex. But they know what they see online. And what they see online is a bunch of women, grown women, who are acting in extraordinarily hypersexualized ways, and they understand that it makes these women popular and that the culture values this, and so they start acting in those same ways. Now, the other girls in the group, because they are sort of more ensconced in French secular hedonism, they sort of understand where the appropriate lines are, but Amy does not, and so she continues to escalate her behavior to the point where she's taking shots of her crotch and she's putting them online. The point of the movie, she becomes a worse person for moving away from fundamental moral tenets and moving toward a social media culture that values women for their sexuality and values girls for their sexuality. And so she's constantly misinterpreting things. Right? There's a scene where she attempts to sexually proposition. She steals a cell phone from her cousin, who's an adult. She attempts to sexually proposition him in order to get back the cell phone. He, of course, reacts very badly because she's 11. And the point is that she doesn't know where any of the lines are because she's being raised by the internet. Because the internet and our over-sexualized culture deliberately forces the internalization of hypersexualization into young teens, into preteens. There's a scene that is described in a lot of the descriptions in which a 16 or 17-year-old girl shows her breast on screen. That's because the girls in the movie are watching this happen online. They're watching that video online. And they don't at any point say, is what the girl is doing right or wrong? Instead, they just say, wow, look how many likes she has. Maybe we should do stuff like that. Okay, so the point of the movie is that France has basically broken down into a society where, because of its multicultural ethos, it tolerates radical fundamentalist Islam in which people are shipping in second wives from Senegal on the one hand, and on the other hand is providing as a lived alternative the secular hedonistic lifestyle that over-sexualizes children. And that there's bleed over effect from that over sexualized lifestyle from adults to children. So that's a pretty conservative message. Like, the actual message of the film is actually quite conservative. Now, the problem with the film comes in the depiction, right? Does this film cross the line between depiction and exploitation? So there's a clip going around yesterday of these girls dancing. It is, you know, warning, spoiler warning, and not only spoiler warning, like nausea warning right now. This clip is graphic. It is a graphic clip of these girls dancing in very sexual ways. They are 11 years old. It's disgusting. It is meant to be disgusting. Okay, and I'll show you kind of why it's meant to be disgusting. Okay, so here's the clip that was going around yesterday, and people were rightly outraged at this clip.
I don't know if you really want to try to.
Okay, you can see the adults reacting in the clip, not being upset that these girls are twerking, not being upset, you know, being kind of happy about it. And these girls are dancing very, very sexually. They're 11 years old. It's really, really disturbing for folks who can't see this, you know. And there are shots of crotches and shots of butts. Okay, and it is these kinds of shots that people are saying, how in the world is this being promoted? How in the world is this even being filmed? I mean, these are 11-year-old girls in real life are being exploited this way. You can see the adults are very excited about it. They're very happy about it. Okay, and then the girls start to get more and more sexual, right? And they start to get more and more sexual because they've coordinated this dance based on based on a video that they've seen online that is very much like WAP. Okay, like these very sexualized, hypersexualized lesbianic dances. Okay, that's a scene in the film. There's a scene in the film where the main character, who is, again, the Senegalese girl, is literally sitting in a session with the other women. The other women have scarves over their head and they're praying, and she's sitting with her earphones in watching this sexualized, hyper-lesbian stuff, right, on her cell phone. As that scene goes on, you start to see cutaways of the crowd, and the crowd starts to get more and more disquieted because people in the crowd are realizing this is really over the top. This is really, really bad. The end of the scene, which was cut off online, was cut off for a reason. At the end of the scene is this girl, the main character, weeping openly and stopping the dance because she realizes that she has been exploiting herself, that she has made herself a worse person. She runs away from the dance. The end of the film is her rejecting both the second wedding for her father and the hypersexualized culture in favor of sort of this generic childhood innocence. She puts on a sweater that kind of buttons all the way up to the neck because it's supposed to be modest. And then she goes and she jump ropes to try and regain her innocence. Right? That's the end of the film. So several things can be true at once. And I think it's important to actually, you know, watch things before you analyze what they are about. This may not justify why the film was made. More on that in a moment. But first, let's talk about your sleep quality. So I have little kids, and that means that my sleep quality is not very good. They're constantly waking me up in the middle of the night because they have to go to the bathroom or because they can't fall asleep or whatever nonsense they're keeping me up with that night. Well, the good news is that when I am on my mattress, it is an excellent mattress. It is a mattress made just for me. I'm talking about a Helix Sleep Quiz. Helix Sleep has a quiz. It takes just 2 minutes to complete. It matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more confusion and no more compromising. Helix Sleep is rated the number one mattress by GQ and Wired magazine. CNN called it the most comfortable mattress they've ever slept on. Just go to helixsleep.com/Ben. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders for our listeners. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Ben. Helixsleep.com/Ben. Again, you get up to $200 off all mattress orders for a personalized mattress you're going to love. Check them out, helixsleep.com/Ben. Okay, the director of the film, by the way, has openly said that the reason the film was made is because she's a black woman who was of Senegalese descent and grew up in an Islamic household. She said she was walking through the park in France and she saw a group of 11-year-olds dancing like this. And she decided that, and she said she was sickened by it, she says. And so she decided to make a movie trying to explore what in the world, as a culture, would we get to the point where 11-year-olds are dancing like this. And then she's talked about this openly in interviews. So several things can be true at once. One, I don't think the director meant to hypersexualize the girls for the pleasure of pedophiles. Two, Netflix definitely, with its original poster, hypersexualized the girls for the purpose of pedophiles. Netflix, their original poster was really, really bad. Three, the theme of the movie is that hypersexualization of children is not only bad, but that it springs from an adult culture that suggests that consent is the only value, and that bleeds down to people for whom consent is not possible in ways that they don't themselves understand. That the hypersexualization of a society does bleed down to kids. That is a theme of the film. Third, that a culture that allows for no choice, but a choice between a hypersexualized secular humanistic vision of hedonism on the one hand and Islamic fundamentalism on the other is a society that is fated for the garbage can. Right? That is a point that the movie is pretty openly making. Now, the critics, because critics mainly hate the right, and so the critics are sitting here too, because the critics mostly hate the right, they've decided that this is a story of female empowerment through leaving Islamic fundamentalism in favor of twerking. That's not what the film is about. The director has said that's not what the film is about. Okay, the real question that should be asked here is, should a film like this even be made, despite the messaging, if it has to depict images like this in order to be made? I think that's a fair question. I think it's a fair question. I think it's a very fair question to ask whether the film has to depict as much of this as it does in order to achieve its purpose. The director would probably tell you that her purpose in showing this stuff was to make you uncomfortable, was to deliberately make the viewer uncomfortable so you realize that so many people are complicit in this culture that bleeds down to little girls. My guess is that's what the director would say. Does that justify the behavior? I think the case can be made that it certainly does not. that 11-year-old girls, no matter what you believe, were actually exploited in the same way that, that Brooke Shields was exploited at 12 when she was forced to get naked in, like, Blue Lagoon. I think that case can be made. But I think, again, that it is important to recognize what the movie is, what it was meant to be, and what it kind of isn't, so that you can have a more fully rounded discussion about it. Now, should you watch it? I don't think so, not unless you're willing to take, you know, an hour and a half of being clubbed about the ears by some of that imagery, which, again, is supremely disturbing. But is it possible for somebody to say that they think that the messages of the film are not about pedophilia? I mean, it's pretty obvious the messages of the film are not about pedophilia. So there is a fully rounded, shaded version of what exactly Cuties was about. Now, does Netflix deserve to be boycotted for airing Cuties? Well, it's directed at mature audiences. It specifically says that on the film. Netflix should have been boycotted over its original poster. And there are a lot of films on Netflix that depict really bad stuff. The original poster was the problem. Okay, the film itself can be a problem. I can certainly see why you would think that, that it shouldn't have been made in the first place and that it shouldn't have been receiving this sort of glorious coverage on the basis of the images that it glorifies, right? Even if it was doing so in order to make you uncomfortable, did it have to do that in order to make the point? And you can, John Nolte said this. I think he's probably correct. It didn't need to go this far in order to make the point. I totally get that. I kind of agree with it. The poster was the real problem because the poster obviously was directed at glorifying the sexual excess of children. That was the real problem. Okay, so now you have your movie guide to Cuties. It's a little more complicated than I think most of the takes you're going to get on it. But I think that, you know, in all essence, we should try to be fair when we watch these movies and note where they are wrong and where they are evil and where they're making an overall not terrible point. The movie can be exploitative and bad in the way that people view it, and it can also be making a fairly good point, actually, about the destruction of a culture that has no centralizing principles rooted in virtue and morality. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher because they know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining me on the line is Michael Moles, host of the Michael Moles Show, co-host of Verdict with Ted Cruz podcast, and world-renowned author of books that have no words in them that sell hundreds of thousands of copies because, for some reason, God has tapped him on the shoulder and blessed him with unbelievable luck. Michael, thanks so much for joining the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about your lack of luck because I sort of forced you to watch Cuties yesterday to give your opinion on Cuties, this movie on Netflix that's making a huge stir. So I gave my take on the show. My take is basically somewhere between the message of the movie is good and these images should not be propagated, and I can't believe how Netflix marketed this thing. What was your take on the movie? Because I do feel like, generally speaking, it is a mistake for people to sound off on movies until they've actually spent the time watching them.
So I think obviously this is my penance that I have to do for all of my good fortune that you made me sit through this movie. But I think your take on it is right, and a little nuance is useful here. If the basic question is this movie degenerate filth? The answer is obviously yes, because it's a French film, and that's just sort of par for the course. But the message, as I think you noted very well, is not just a pro-pedophile message or something like that. The message is basically that there are these pitfalls of fundamentalist Islam, and there are these pitfalls of Western decadent liberalism, and what is really wanted is some kind of middle ground that's a little bit more moderate. That's all well and good. The issue with the movie, though, as I believe you also noted, is the exploitative scenes and the exploitative shots, which were so gratuitous, which were so totally unnecessary. And it kind of made me think about if you made a movie about how bad it is to torture animals, and then you had the majority of the movie be someone actually torturing animals, and then at the end come out and say, but it's wrong to torture animals. That seems to me what's going on here, which is the message of the movie is there are these real risks to the hypersexualization of young girls, all well and good. But then a large percentage of the movie is actually hypersexualizing young girls. And so I think the film deserves the criticism that it's getting. But of course, it's a little bit more nuanced than people are making it out to be on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the film deserves a lot of the criticism, but I think that Netflix mostly deserves the criticism, meaning that the way that this first came to public attention is that Netflix started marketing this with a poster showing the four girls who are at the center of the film in one of these hypersexualized poses looking extremely sexual on the poster. If they had actually put on the poster a picture of the main girl crying, I feel like three quarters of this stuff goes away, mainly because that is the theme of the film. The theme of the film is how hypersexualization of young girls is really, really bad. And the only choice apparently in modern France is between a multiculturalism that embraces a radical form of Islam that is fine with polygamy. That's literally one of the themes of the film. Or a hypersexualized childhood in which kids know nothing about sex, but are forced into sort of mimicking the hypersexualization of adults. It was funny. Robert George, the philosophy professor from Princeton, he tweeted out a thread about this morning in which he was pointing out that the sexual freedom culture that was promoted in the 1960s was always going to have bleed over effects to children, and we just ignored all of that. And Cuties is an example of that. But I actually thought that was actually one of the messages of Cuties, because some of the, like, there's a scene where the girls are literally just watching sort of a typical rap video, looks like a Cardi B video, and then imitating it. And it's showing how bad that is for them.
You know, this was my thought while watching the movie, is film WAP taken to its logical conclusion. And I suspect many of the people who like WAP and Cardi B in modern pop culture would say absolutely not, that there's no way that this could ever bleed over into the sexualization of children. But let's not forget, the sexualization of children has been a theme on the far left going all the way back to William Reich in the 1930s and all the way back to Bernie Sanders writing those creepy essays in the 1960s and 70s. This is a theme that has cropped up again and again. And if the movie is condemning that, that's all well and good. But I guess the issue that people are having with it, and what makes it a hard movie to watch, is the execution of that. Because, you know, as is always an issue with film, you're debating between what is necessary to present the artistic message and what is mere exploitation. And it seemed to me pretty clear in at least a couple of those scenes that it fell onto the side of exploitation Now, does that mean that the filmmaker is some pedophile or something? No, but does it mean that the film has parts that are just unwatchable? I think certainly that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that you can make a criticism of the film that in order to film anything like this, you have to exploit 11-year-old children. Right, that this never should have been made just because in order to have 11-year-old children perform the kinds of things that happen on film that you then condemn, you have to have 11-year-old children do that. I don't think that's unique to this film, though. I mean, that goes all the way back to, like, Brooke Shields posing nude at 12 in Blue Lagoon. I mean, the real question for Hollywood really maybe ought to be whether we should have child stars at all, considering how often Hollywood exploits them and ruins their lives.
That's an excellent point. And there's a broader cultural point, which is that we live in a culture that has censorship. I guess all cultures in human history have had some form of censorship. The question is, what are we celebrating and what are we censoring? And right now, you cannot make a cop show. Cop shows are being taken off of the air and off of streaming platforms. And a culture that is celebrating and lionizing cuties but canceling cop shows is a culture that has its censorship regime seriously out of order.
Well, Michael Moles, thanks for joining the show. Go check out his show, The Michael Moles Show, and he's co-host of Verdict with Ted Cruz. By the way, Ted will be stopping by a little bit later on in the program, so stick around with that. Michael, enjoy your non-well-earned weekend. I hope that you enjoy it. All right, coming up, we're going to be taking your calls at 855-236-3228. Again, that's 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
A full term.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
As a kid, I wanted to explore every inch of the world, but then I contracted bacterial meningitis. My kidneys shut down, my spleen burst, both of my legs were amputated below the knees. But I didn't give up on my dreams. I medaled in the Paralympics, I'm a motivational speaker, published author, Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and training to compete in the next Paralympic Games. Help kids live their dreams, just like me. Put your money where the miracles are. Give to your Children's Miracle Network Hospital.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Taking your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Jack in New York, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jack.
I have a personal question. I hope that's okay.
Go for it.
All right. So here's the deal. So my girlfriend and I have kind of got into like a lot of arguments recently because she hates Trump and I somewhat support him. It's really started since like COVID and the election season. I always tell her that, like, for me, it's about, like, the policies, even though I say that Trump says stupid things. But, like, she always comes back to me and says, like, how can I overlook his personality because it's a policy? And I'm not trying to, like, win these arguments per se. I'm just trying to know how to, like, avoid them, like, in your personal opinion.
So, I mean, if you want to avoid the argument, and the real question is whether the arguments represent underlying values differences. It doesn't sound like they really do. It sounds like the kind of implications of the values that are different, meaning that If you guys are similarly conservative, for example, and it's just that she can't bring herself to vote for Trump because she just doesn't like his personality, then that really doesn't go to deeper values, and so it really shouldn't threaten your relationship. I've always been a believer that if you have completely different values from the person who you're dating, you probably shouldn't be together. So if this is really like, you know, Trump is a pro-life guy, and I'm super pro-choice, Trump is very much in favor of a smaller government that you know, allows more personal freedom, and I'm in favor of a big government that takes care of all your problems. Trump's more pro-religious, I'm anti. Like, those are real underlying issues. If it's just a question of tactics, meaning you agree on a lot of the underlying values, it's just your girlfriend doesn't feel like voting for him because she doesn't like him very much, and you feel like voting for him because you feel like the broader policy issues, you know, overreach the character argument, then it doesn't seem like an argument even worth having. And I think that you can say to her, listen, we just assess what the vote is for differently, right? We can understand each other. I understand why you wouldn't vote for him because, you know, you believe that your vote is a personal referendum on his personality. I get that. You know, I believe that my vote is not really a referendum on his personality as much as it is a referendum on the political policies that will be put in place by whoever is the president. And that's just a difference of opinion, different vision. And so, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with either of those perspectives.
Mm-hmm. And going back to, like, the values thing, she elaborates on that and says, like, the big things for her are, like, for example, like feminism, and I don't mean like the new age feminism, but like the old fashioned one, kind of like, you know, like men and women should be equal and like that kind of thing. And like I totally agree with that. So I would say, like, you know, like that value specifically, like, isn't something where, like, we argue, and like the rest of the values that we have that like really like come alive with like these arguments, we don't really like have some like differences on like these values. It's really just like, you know, policy versus personality.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think that rational people can come to different conclusions about how they wish to spend their vote. But I think that when it comes to raising kids, you have to share values, not about voting, but about how you want your kids to grow up, what kind of things you want them to care about, what kind of things you want them to value. So as long as you agree on that stuff, I think that how you vote is really of secondary concern. Jack, appreciate the call. Cameron in Alabama, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Cameron.
Hey, Ben. So first off, I read your book, and I use it as one of my red pill books. My question for you today is, why do you think libertarians hate cops so much? I saw this going on in the beginning of the riots and after the killing of David Dorn. Saw a lot of libertarians not just being against, for defunding the police, but also being proponents of the cop killing.
So I think there are some radical libertarians who are so uncomfortable with any form of government authority that they hate cops and are willing to believe the worst about cops in any given situation. Now, it's one thing to be skeptical of the police, right? Of any police power. That's fine. I mean, being skeptical is one thing. Being willing to go to cops are routinely abusive. Cops are the armed wing of the state, such that they are constantly violating people's rights. Like, yes, you need some evidence in order to back that. And I think sometimes libertarians go overboard on this. Again, I think libertarians guarding against the excesses of police brutality or against the excesses of the police overstretching their authority, I think that's actually quite good. I mean, we want checks and balances on any government authority. But it's when libertarians start to fall into the, we need to disarm cops, cops are inherently bad, every instance that I see that doesn't look right to me is evidence that a cop is a racist. Like, libertarians making common cause of the actual anti-cop people seems to me a foolhardy approach, considering that the libertarian perspective is that you actually do require at a certain point an armed wing in order to effectuate property rights, for example. You do need cops to ensure that people don't just come and rob your house.
Right, right. And I get that. And the thing is, I think a lot of libertarians are just sort of going on the basis of, you know, all men are angels, so that's why we don't need any government, those extremist libertarians you were talking about, so.
Yep. Well, I appreciate the call, Cameron, and hang in there. Guy in Georgia, you're on the bench for a struggle for a guy.
Yes, Dan. So I've got a loaded question about the Second Amendment. Oftentimes we see conservatives defending the AR-15, but my question for you, Ben, is where do you draw the line kind of at the other end? What's the maximum that you see for civilian firearm ownership?
So the maximum, it seems to me, would be any firearm in common usage, right? This is the standard drawn by Justice Scalia, and it seems right to me. When people said the right to keep and bear arms back in revolutionary times, what they meant is the arms that were in common usage. That seems to me a proper place to draw the line. That means that ARs would be non-regulatable. But, for example, a fully automatic machine gun might be regulatable. That seems like a rational place to draw the line. And, of course, there are places that you'd want to draw the line. You actually don't want most Americans walking around with nuclear warheads. You don't want most Americans to have attack helicopters.
Right, right.
But the attempt to get rid of extraordinarily common firearms, like, you know, an AR or like a common handgun, or to restrict the ability to fire a weapon to, you know, 10 rounds instead of 13, that shouldn't even be supported by a rational basis. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay, and then I get a little question for another day. Maybe then, you know, the AR-15 wasn't common 30 years ago, but it is today, and then so what do we expect tomorrow?
Well, that was the natural outgrowth of rifles that already existed that are semi-automatic rifles. I mean, semi-automatic rifles have existed in meaning like one firing one shot. That's existed since the Civil War and the invention of actual cartridge bullets. And so the difference between a bolt-action rifle and a semi-automatic is just the reloading function. So gun mechanisms haven't changed radically except for the repeatable machine gun for a very, very long time. And as far as how far that goes in the future, I mean, when you're talking about the type of firearm, what you would imagine is presumably that there will be more powerful firearms that have a higher muzzle velocity. As long as that is one shot per trigger pull, it'd be hard to see how you could ban something like that.
Okay, I greatly appreciate it.
Really appreciate the call, Guy. John in New Jersey, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, John.
Hey, Ben. So are you familiar with an article called Sleepwalking into Secession from the American Mind?
No, I haven't seen this one.
So it came out in August, and it's talking about this simulation from the Transition Integrity Project, and it was a war game. Election Day war game, and basically the scenario, one of the scenarios that played out was that kind of the same situation that happened in 2016. Trump wins the Electoral College but loses the popular vote, but Biden's campaign refuses to concede, and they convinced a bunch of these states like North Carolina, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania to send Democratic electors, the Electoral College, to cast their vote for Biden, and then California, Oregon, and Washington threatened to secede. I mean, it seems like a long shot, but the more I think about it, you know, the way things are going, it doesn't seem supremely unlikely. But what do you think? Is there a real possibility that
the fact that Dems
could just collapse?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Democrats are even prepping for this suggests that there's a bit of wish fulfillment going on. Like, we need an excuse just to pull out of the country. And it's only the left that's doing this. I'm not seeing a lot of this from the right. I'm not seeing a lot of if Biden wins, Texas is going to secede, and Florida is going to secede, and Georgia is going to secede. I'm not seeing a lot of that from the right. I'm only seeing this from the left. I'm seeing article after article push the idea that situations will get so bad that we just have to do something, whether it is that particular ridiculous study, which is basically just a compendium of bizarre wish fulfillment scenarios from John Podesta's group about how, well, if Biden loses narrowly, then we'll claim that it was voter fraud, and then some of us will secede, to this new study that came out from some ridiculous group suggesting that violence is going to break out from the right, and that's going to necessitate that MoveOn.org and Think Progress get together like an armed faction and go take over public buildings. This is coast-playing nonsense, and the fact that they continue to participate in it suggests that they actually want it to happen, and that they keep talking about it over and over. Again, I'm not seeing this sort of rhetoric from the right in the same way that you never see the rhetoric from the right where the right says, okay, well, if a Democrat gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. If a Democrat gets elected, I'm moving to Australia. Like, we just don't see that, right? You only see that from the left, which suggests that if secession actually is to come, it probably will come from the left. And the reason I say that is because, number one, if there were a Republican president in Congress and California decided to secede, there's a good shot that the Republican is just like, okay, catch you later. But if there's a Democratic president and a Democratic Congress and a red state decides to secede, then they go to war because – the fact is that they must cram down on you a value system that they prefer. So that's my big takeaway. It's not that any of this is actually going to happen, but the Democrats are much warmer toward the possibility of this happening than Republicans are.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for your perspective. Appreciate
really appreciate it, John. Sarah in New York, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Sarah.
Hi, Ben. So talking about the riots and how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are sort of not calling them out for it and everything. Do you think that if Trump wins, there's going to be another outrage and a bunch more riots? And how would that be different? Do you think if Joe Biden wins, are this whole problem with America being systemically racist going to suddenly disappear? What do you think that's going to look like?
So I think what you will see is an immediate calming because the signal will have gone out, the bat signal, the racial bat signal will have gone out that everybody needs to calm things down for a little while. Like, give us a chance. And then I think within a year, you'll see riots in the streets again. Because, again, you saw riots in the streets when Barack Obama was president. This bizarre alternative history where everything was calm and wonderful during the Obama administration is a lie. There were riots in Ferguson in 2014. There were riots in Baltimore in 2015. There were riots in Milwaukee in 2016. This stuff has been happening under various administrations for quite a while. It tended to exacerbate in the late years of the Obama administration when radicals decided that Obama wasn't going to give them what they wanted or they couldn't get it otherwise. So I would assume that there is kind of a short-term breathtaking where everybody goes, okay, we're so relieved Trump isn't president anymore. And then the radicals get bored and they have to do something. Right? Occupy Wall Street is a thing that happened while Barack Obama was president, not while George W. Bush was president. So I think that the radicals who are engaged in unrest are not going to be dissuaded from participating in unrest just because an octogenarian Democrat with a 60-year history in Congress is now in charge of the presidency. Even if Kamala Harris were president, I don't think it would stop because – for the Democrats, these things are not mutually exclusive. There's this story out of Oregon where it turns out one of the people who was rioting in Oregon worked in the speaker of the legislature's office as a Democrat. And so people were asking, like, wait a second, you work inside the system during your day job. Why exactly are you rioting at night? And the answer is that for a lot of Democrats, these are not in any way mutually exclusive. That for Democrats, it turns out that rioting outside the office and then going in the next day and effectuating what the rioters wanted to pass is actually a pressure tactic that's been used for several decades here. So, as I say, I would expect that there will be a bit of a calming, and then the media will declare victory. Oh, look how Biden calmed the waters, and then within a couple of years, we're right back here.
Okay, thank you so much. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. All right, well, we're going to take more of your calls in just a moment at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. First, you may have noticed this is a pretty important time in American life, but it's also a depressing time in American life. And because it's a depressing time in American life, not a lot of people are smiling, not a lot of smiles going around these days, but one day you will smile anew. And when you do smile anew, you're going to want to make sure that that smile looks good. How can you achieve this magic? Well, head over to Candid. Candid's clear aligners. They're comfortable, removable, practically invisible, unlike wire braces. So you can transform your smile without anybody noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. It's all done from the comfort and convenience of your own home. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. Plus, your supervising orthodontist will be with you every step of the way. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you never have to wonder how you're doing. You'll always know, which I love. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then. It costs thousands less than braces. Start straightening your teeth today. Right now, all my listeners can save $75 off on Candid's starter kit. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Save $75 on your starter kit today. CandidCO.com/Ben. Promo code Ben. Alrighty. Coming up, there's a story out of Kenosha giving the lie to the idea that the rioters and looters are actually wonderful, nice people. They are not. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit GiveWestwood.org. GiveWestwood.org.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. 855-236-3228. Joey in Washington, D.C., you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Joey.
Hey, Ben. I just wanted to call in. I'm a lifelong Republican. Yet I see this crazy QAnon conspiracy theory that's permeating throughout the party. And I just, you know, and I mean, the fact that the FBI is labeled a domestic terrorist threat is enough for me. I was wondering what's your opinion on how we can exercise, the whole QAnon nonsense from our party and I guess the country writ large.
So I think that the best way to exercise it is to call it out for what it is, which is a nonsensical conspiracy theory. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to engage in it. The internet makes for conspiracy theories. So all you can do is call it out and point out that it's idiotic and stupid. But the idea that the conspiracy theories are unique to the right or unique to the left is silly. I mean, they exist throughout all of human life because human beings seek structures to explain things they don't understand. And so when something happens in the world you don't understand, you'll see anti-Semites suggest it's the Rothschilds or that it's the Bilderbergs or something. When they see, you know, things happening in American politics they can't understand, there must be a secret cabal of people who are pulling the strings. The conspiratorial mindset,
of course,
unfortunately, runs on all sides of the aisle.
9/11, they have the whole...
Right, on 9/11, there has to be some sort of inside story, inside job, so that we can understand exactly, you know, what happened there in a way that the people aren't telling you. I don't think you can excise that aspect of the human brain. I mean, I really don't. I just think that's a natural. There's certain contingent of people who are likely to fall for conspiracy theories, and that's why somebody who you find who believes in a conspiracy theory tends to believe in like 7 of them. I've yet to identify the person who believes in QAnon who doesn't also believe in like 3 or 4 other bizarre conspiracy theories. So that has less to do with the credibility of QAnon and more to do with the kind of person who's susceptible to believing this sort of stuff.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for answering your question, Brian.
Joey, appreciate the call. Hey, thanks so much. Danny in Florida, you're on the Venture Bureau Show. Go for it, Danny.
Hey, Ben, love the show. I had a question for you about the new Trump deal with Bahrain and UAE. I wanted to get your thoughts on how that changes kind of the face of the region with regard to Israel and the normalization with the Arab world and the kind of Muslim nations, and if you have any insight into what the next domino to fall is going to be.
So all of this does change the region pretty radically, because again, the going theory was that you have to solve the Palestinian question first, and then once that is solved, presumably through some sort of concessions that Israel makes to terrorists, then everybody else jumps on board. This obviously reverses the polarity. All of a sudden, it's other countries jumping on board with Israel. And the Palestinians are going to have to figure out exactly how they gain a state by, you know, not engaging in terrorism. So that really changes pretty radically. Bahrain doesn't sign on to this without Saudi permission. So I would assume that in the near future, Saudi will probably join something like this when they feel the time is right. I think countries like Morocco are pretty close to doing something like this. There was talk about Sudan doing something like this. So it is a radical change. And that change was brought about, yes, by President Trump and the Kushner team and Avi Berkowitz and that group of folks. It was also largely brought about by Barack Obama being horrible at his job. Barack Obama decided to strengthen the Iranian regime. The result of the Iranian regime being strengthened that way is these other countries, these Arab nations, who have decided, you know what, we're not going to go along with this. The Jews are not our enemy anymore. They are our ally and a bulwark against the power of the Iranian regime. So that really has changed the region pretty dramatically.
Do you think it changes at all in terms of the Israel's or Netanyahu's push for annexation?
Well, I don't know that it changes with regard to the annexation stuff, because let's put it this way. You know, it's doubtful to me that these countries are then going to walk it back if Netanyahu were to annex. But I've always been a little bit skeptical of the full-scale annexation, you know, kind of pitch, not because I don't think Israel should annex the territory, but because I'm not sure that it changes conditions on the ground all that much. You know, Israel already controls a lot of that territory. You know, annexing it can always be reversed by a future Israeli government that seeks to concede it. So what exactly changes other than the territories would be under non-military rule? They'd be under domestic rule, presumably. But you'd still have to have the IDF over there in order to make sure that these are not subject to terror attacks. So it's always been more of a talking point, I think, than a reality. Everybody knows Israel is not giving up those areas. Everybody also knows that Israel is supposed to not say that out loud, or that if there were an Israeli government that decided to reverse annexation, they just would. So I've never been super warm on the idea that annexation as a political ploy was effective. Danny, appreciate the call. John in Fresno, you're on the Venture Bureau Show. Go for it, John.
Hi, Ben. My question was, why is it that people on the left seem to think that you know, Fox News, Donald Trump, that everything that we put out is a lie 24/7, and when you tell them, oh, could you give me some examples of how they lie and things like that, they never give you examples. They just start attacking your character most of the time. And then the examples are cities being on fire, which is true. Why do you think that is? And also, how do you combat that?
So I think that when people just say that the right-wing media is always lying, that's not an argument. That's just a character attack. So why don't you point to a specific lie, and then we can talk about whether it's a lie. The answer is always specificity. I mean, really, ask people to specify exactly what the hell they're talking about. They rarely can.
I know. And, And then they can't. And then another thing is, I'm 26, and I live in a more conservative part of California, but how do you think we can get people that are my age to actually start to get informed and know that these places don't lie? They're telling what the truth is. What do you think the best way to go about that would be? Showing things like your show, or what do you think? And
yeah.
Why do you think it's so ingrained that it's just a lie?
I mean, I think it's ingrained because if you keep repeating something over and over, people start to believe that it's the truth.
As far as
trying to dissuade people from that, again, ask them where the lie is, and then if they say that it's a lie, then you have to show them actual sources that they tend to agree with who undermine that claim, right?
Yeah.
Which is why you'll hear me on the show very often cite the Washington Post or the New York Times or various other places that the left tends to agree with, as opposed to other sort of right-wing media sources. It makes it very difficult for the left to argue I'm lying to them when I'm using sources they tend to like. Really appreciate the call, John. Charissa, in Irvine, California, on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it.
Hey, what's up? I have a question for you about what in particular about Trump's COVID policy would you say is working right now as we reach the 200,000 U.S. American death count?
Okay, so the answer there, Charissa, is that nobody's policy is working particularly well other than shielding the nursing homes and making sure that people can get proper testing and PPE. And when it comes to testing, we are testing more than any other nation on a raw basis. And we are increasing those tests daily, and we are moving very fast toward a vaccine, which is very good news. So Trump's done a lot of things right. He's done a lot of things wrong. Nobody's done anything completely right. They just have not. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Firefighters up in the Northwest, especially in Oregon, getting a bit of a break. Doug Graff with the Oregon Department of Forestry says weather conditions are improving.
Cooler temperatures along with moisture in the air help the firefight. It'll put us in a position to move from just life safety to the offense against these fires.
Regardless, Washington State's Patrol Chief John Baptiste says people need to be careful during the danger and be mindful of possible ignition sources.
We are asking drivers to please use your ashtrays and don't toss lighted materials from your windows. We ask motorists to slow down, turn on your headlights in hazy conditions. We're asking everyone to please pay attention to your surroundings.
Some 500,000 people in Oregon alone have been evacuated, thousands more on standby to leave at a moment's notice. But firefighting, or the fires, are not the only thing people and officials are fighting. The unsubstantiated social media posts blaming coordinated groups of arsonists from both the far and the left for setting the blazes. Officials in Oregon and Washington State turning to Facebook to knock down the competing narratives. President Trump honoring a soldier for his role in rescuing dozens of hostages who were set to be executed by Islamic terrorist militants in Iraq.
During a White House ceremony, the president awarded the Medal of Honor to Sergeant Major Thomas Patrick Payne, who came under enemy fire during a daring mission in 2015. Payne repeatedly entered a burning building to save hostages.
He received orders to evacuate, but he refused to do so. He didn't want to leave anyone behind.
Payne was initially given the Army's second highest award for the Special Operations Raid, which was upgraded to a Medal of Honor. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What? Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East. And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrorism.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to plead for his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
Used car prices drove overall consumer prices higher last month.
The consumer price index climbed 0.4% in August, the rise fueled by a 5.4% jump in used car prices, steepest monthly gain since March 1969. While new car prices were unchanged, analysts expect them to rise in the coming months, reflecting supply shortages. Vehicle production closed completely during the spring as the pandemic shut down wide swaths of the economy. Rich Thomason reporting.
New York Fashion Week, the semi-annual showcase of American fashion, gets underway Sunday evening, but it's going to be vastly changed landscape. This year, the display is virtually all virtual. Just a few designers are showing live with heavy restrictions, and the rest are offering digital activations. There'll be no celebs packing front rows, no stiletto-heeled crowds. More at townhall.com. A new poll out says the coronavirus pandemic has taken a harsh toll on the mental health of young Americans. For the latest, we turn to Shelley Adler for this report.
A majority of Americans ages 18 through 34 say they have at least sometimes felt isolated in the past month, compared with about 40% of older Americans. That's according to the latest COVID response tracking study conducted by NORC at the University of Chicago. 25% of young adults who are going through life transitions like starting college and finding jobs rate their mental health as fair or poor, compared with just 13% of older adults. I'm Shelley Adler.
Thursday birthdays. Movie director Brian De Palma turned 80. Singer, actor, dancer Lola Falana, 78. Actor Amy Madigan, 70. Singer Harry Connick Jr., 53. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
China's actual policy with regard to the Uyghurs. First, we got to talk about a new Trump peace deal. President Trump has released the news today that Bahrain has now cut a peace deal with the state of Israel. This makes the third separate country to cut a peace deal with Israel. That'd be the UAE, Kosovo, and now Bahrain. The important thing about Bahrain is that Bahrain is not doing this without the permission of the Saudis. Okay, that is the relationship between Bahrain and the Saudis is extremely close. Bahrain is considered sort of a client state of the Saudi Arabian government. That means that there is now a de facto alliance between the UAE, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and any other country that wants to join against Iran. Today, President Trump put out a statement. Here's what it said. President Trump, His Majesty King Hamad bin Isa bin Salman Al Khalifa of the Kingdom of Bahrain, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel spoke today and agreed to the establishment of full diplomatic relations between Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain. This is a historic breakthrough to further peace in the Middle East. Opening direct dialogue and ties between these two dynamic societies and advanced economies will continue the positive transformation of the Middle East and increase stability, security, and prosperity in the region. The parties will continue in their efforts to achieve a just, comprehensive, enduring resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to enable the Palestinian people to realize their full potential. Israel affirmed that as set forth in the vision for peace, all Muslims who come in peace may visit and pray at Al-Aqsa, and Jerusalem's other holy sites will remain open for peaceful worshipers of all faiths. Both of the parties expressed their appreciation for President Trump, and they commended the UAE and Crown Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed for his leadership in announcing full diplomatic relations with Israel. Also, Bahrain will join the leadership of Israel and the UAE at a historic signing ceremony on September 15th. So, pretty incredible stuff happening in the Middle East. And, of course, President Trump never gets any credit for this. But this is one of the upsides of President Trump being president, is that the man does not abide by conventional wisdom. And because he does not abide by conventional wisdom, that is good. It is very good in some cases that he doesn't. The conventional wisdom in the Middle East is that Israel needed to make concessions to terrorist Palestinian leadership in order for any other country to jump on the bandwagon. And instead, the Trump administration went at it outside in. They said, OK, well, you know what? The Palestinian issue is not first and foremost on the minds of people from UAE or Saudi Arabia or Egypt or Jordan or anybody else. Thus, why don't you just cut a peace deal with Israel on an economic level and we will figure out how to solve this other problem later. And it turns out that's a winning strategy, especially when in your rearview mirror you have the threat of a looming Iranian hegemony in the region. So that is a very, very big deal. And again, Saudi does not approve this. It doesn't get done. So that is a pretty large scale change in the Middle East. That is some pretty good news. Meanwhile, Joe Biden continues to stumble around. So President Trump, continues to give oxygen to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden continues to set ads based off that oxygen. But the fact is that Joe Biden is not performing well here. He did an interview with Jake Tapper yesterday that was particularly brutal. In this interview with Jake Tapper, he refused to acknowledge that Donald Trump had cut a better NAFTA deal. He refused to acknowledge that making nice with the Chinese government was a bad idea. And he sort of drifted off into Neverland. So at one point, Joe Biden was asked about Trump's criticisms of his health. And Joe Biden was like, well, that's ridiculous. And then he just kind of wandered off into a cornfield. It was real weird. Here was Joe Biden yesterday.
I mean, this idea of, slow Joe. I shouldn't laugh about it because, Donald Trump, just look at us both, watch us, and determine whether or not you think I'm misleading anyone, not you personally, but the public. You know, look at me, judge me based on, I know what the job takes.
Yeah. Just judge me based on my complete inability to finish a sentence, says Joe Biden. Joe Biden also denied that he'd ever made a mistake with regard to normalizing relations with the Chinese government. He says that was a good idea, which is a weird thing since they have now solidified their grip on power and have extended their tyranny outwards.
A lot of people think that allowing China into the World Trade Organization, which he supported, extending most favored nation status to China, which he supported, that those steps allowed China to take advantage of the United States by using our own open trade deals against us.
No.
Do you think in retrospect that you were naive about China?
No. Here's the thing. In the context of that, we want China to grow.
We want China to grow. I mean, it's good that there are more people in China who are not living in abject poverty, but we actually don't want to strengthen the Chinese government. Also, Joe Biden refused to acknowledge that he had made a promise to fix NAFTA, and then it was Trump who got it done.
Now, when you ran for president and when Barack Obama ran for president, you both said you would renegotiate NAFTA. You didn't. He did. Does he deserve credit for that?
No, I think, remember, he didn't. He wasn't the one that pushed that particular one that passed. The House amended the bill.
He renegotiated NAFTA and you didn't, is the point. I mean,
because we had a Republican Congress that wouldn't go along with us renegotiating it.
But doesn't he deserve some credit for that? It's better. The USMCA is better than NAFTA.
It is better than NAFTA.
Okay, so finally, Joe Biden admits that it is, in fact, better than NAFTA, but he won't give credit to Trump because he would have done it, too, except that he supposedly, like what? I don't understand. He had a fully Democratic Congress the first 2 years of the Obama administration. So Joe Biden continues to babble out there. He's just not looking good in these interviews. In fact, one of his aides was on TV with Brett Baier, his spokesperson. And does Joe Biden read from teleprompters during interviews? Now, this is something normally people don't do. I do lots and lots of interviews. You never read from the teleprompter during an interview. You're never fed answers. That's called cheating. But Joe Biden's spokesperson literally has no ability to shrug off that charge.
Has Joe Biden ever used a teleprompter during local interviews or to answer Q&A with supporters?
Brett, we are not going to engage. This is straight from the Trump campaign.
Well, yeah, they're
point.
Using
and
it.
And what it does, Brett, is it's trying to distract the American people.
They talk about it every day. Can you say yes or no?
That's because they talk about it every day, Brett, because they don't have a coherent strategy.
Well, you have an answer. Yes or no?
Brett, they talk about it every day because they don't have a coherent argument for why Donald Trump deserves re-election, deserves four more years. We know that he lied to the American people. We know that he has not shown leadership during this crisis, and they are desperate to throw anything they can against the wall to try to distract from that fact.
I understand, but you can't answer the question.
He cannot answer the question because Joe Biden is, in fact, reading from a teleprompter. Trump mocked Biden for this, by the way. He says, you know, Joe, if you really need the teleprompter, you should just move it closer so you understand what you're reading.
Joe Biden continues to use the pandemic for political gain. Every time I see him, he starts talking about the pandemic. He's reading it off a teleprompter. I'm not allowed to use a teleprompter. Why is that, Phil? They ask questions and he starts reading the teleprompter. He says, move the teleprompter a little bit closer, please. I don't know. I think if I did that, I'd be in big trouble. I think that would be the story of the year.
I mean, that is true. They went after Donald Trump when he had, like, notes that were written on a notepad. Imagine if Donald Trump had been reading answers off a teleprompter in the middle of an interview. Now, Joe Biden did make an actual boo-boo in this interview, like an actual telling boo-boo. He basically said that anybody who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton was a deplorable. So he decided to double down on the exact same Democratic line they've been using for years, which is if you don't vote Democrat, it's because you're inherently a racist. Here was Joe Biden doing that yesterday.
We're in Macomb County, Michigan right now. This is a county that President Obama and you carried twice, and then President Trump carried by 12 percentage points in 2016. Why do you think so many of these voters turned against the Democratic Party in 2016?
I think it was the feeling that they were taken for granted. I don't know that for a fact. And I think that he used that dog whistle on race. Now it's a bullhorn.
Okay, so now it's a bullhorn, and all the people who are voting for him, who voted for Obama twice, by the way, and then shifted over to Trump, those people are also inherently racist, according to Joe Biden. That is a hot take, and it's not a take that's going to redound to his benefit. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be joined by the daughter of a Uyghur Muslim currently imprisoned by the Chinese government. We'll find out what exactly is happening in that country that Joe Biden wants to strengthen. First, let's talk about raising your energy level. So I know it's the end of the week, and your energy level's flagging, but next week, you're going to need more energy. And I can give you a way to do this without guzzling the coffee. I'm talking, of course, about Super Beats. Super Beats soft chews. They combine non-GMO beets with a powerful, clinically researched ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or the stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, and get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. It's become quite popular among our staffers, who are expected to be in tip-top shape every single day. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats chews. Get your Super Beats chews today at GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. When you buy two bags, they throw in the third for free. That is GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. Again, GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. GetSuperBeats.com/Ben. Go check them out right now, and when you buy two bags, you get the third for free. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by a woman whose father has been imprisoned by the Chinese government for the great sin of being a Uyghur Muslim. What exactly is happening over there? We'll get the inside scoop. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
Disasters don't stop during a pandemic, and neither does the American Red Cross. That's why we need local volunteers to help carry out our life-saving mission during a busy hurricane season. To safely provide help and hope, we're closely monitoring the COVID pandemic and working with local health officials. Together, we can help our community stay strong. Find out how you can train now to be a volunteer with the American Red Cross. Visit redcross.org. Volunteer today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. While corporate America continues to kowtow to the Chinese government, from Disney to the NBA, and a lot of American governmental figures continue to maintain that a stronger China is better. That's something Joe Biden keeps saying. Joining us on the line is Zhuhar Ilham. She's a Uyghur human rights fellow at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, a scholar who advocates for Uyghur causes, particularly on behalf of her father, who was detained and separated from her en route to the United States in 2013 to serve a life sentence in China for advocating for the Uyghur people. Zhuhar, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thank you very much for having me today.
So for those who don't know anything about the Uyghurs, who exactly are the Uyghurs, and why is it that the Chinese government is targeting them?
I can answer the first part of the question. So Uyghurs are Turkic ethnic minority groups who are majority of them who are living in west part of China. In Chinese, it is called Xinjiang, but Uyghurs prefer to call it by other names. So majority of the Uyghurs are Muslim, and we speak Turkic language, which is completely different from Chinese language. We practice different culture. We have different customs. We look different. So basically, it's pretty visible, noticeable to tell if someone, whether it's Chinese or Uyghur, when you look at them. And for your second part of question, you asked me why it is happening towards the Uyghurs, why the Chinese government is suppressing the Uyghurs. Unfortunately, I am still trying to figure out the real reason behind that. I'm sure there are a lot of reasons, a lot of factors are playing behind it. But according to my assumptions, just in based on my own opinion, I believe it's because of the cultural differences, and mainly because of we have different beliefs, and I believe it's just because we're so different, and we're when the Uyghurs are having different faiths, even different beliefs, then the government might consider it's a threat towards the loyalty towards the regime.
Juhar, when we look at the treatment of Uyghurs, maybe you can describe that to folks, because we've only seen some isolated videos. We've seen the video of people being put on trains with their heads shaved, for example. But Juhar, it's very difficult to see, you know, exactly what is going on. We sort of hear isolated reports. So what exactly is the Chinese government doing to the Uyghurs?
For instance, just as an example, my father is one of the most renowned Uyghur scholar in China, and he was well known for his moderate voice and his ideas of promoting peaceful coexistence between the Han Chinese and the Uyghur people. And he has spoken out. He wrote articles on his website, and he talked to media journalists. But a person like him. He was sentenced to life on separatism-related charges, but he was so far away from what the government described he is. And there's so many other scholars, just like my father, are locked up either in a prison or in a concentration camp, or are sent to a forced labor where people who used to have decent jobs, maybe they were doctors, maybe they were singers, maybe they were football players, and they're sent to work in a factory with very, very minimum payments and very bad working environment. Besides that, we have also seen reports of women being sterilized. According to the testimony, test survivors' testimonies, they have all stated that they were fed with unknown medicines, and some of them were injected with unknown shots. So far, it's very hard to know what kind of medicines they were fed and what kind of injections it was for the camp survivors. And things like this, it has become a norm to the Uyghurs in China so far. So many Uyghur children, just like me, daughters, sons, they have no idea where their parents are. I haven't heard anything of my father since 2017, and I believe this is happening to so many Uyghurs overseas. They have no idea where their parents are, where their uncles, their aunts, their friends, any of their family members. It's simply so difficult for them to reach out to people who are still remain in China.
We're sitting with Juhar Ilham, Uyghur Human Rights Fellow at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. So, Juhar, there's obviously been a massive sort of PR debacle for Disney. Disney filmed Mulan, which is their new big release, in Xinjiang province, and then they thanked the local government of Xinjiang in the credits to the film. This has drawn some blowback. What do you make of Disney participating in movie making in China, and why do you think it is that Hollywood continues to promote messages promoted by the Chinese government?
I have to be honest with you. I would watch movies that were produced from Hollywood. Disney is one of my favorite company, and I love watching Disney movies. Growing up, Mulan was actually one of my favorite Disney stories. So it was quite disappointing for me to see to know that they did not only film part of their scenes in the Uyghur region, but also they publicly. Thanks to find security authorities in the Uyghur region. It's because especially the Turpan, the city of Turpan was the exact entity that offered the playbook for Uyghur children to learn how to answer visitors on questions of where your parents are and what are they doing? Are they happy? And questions for answers of those questions are usually, oh, my parents are living in a very happy life in those re-education centers. They're learning laws. They're learning skills. And because of those information, it just made me extremely disappointed. And as Disney has such a big name, and also for a long term, they have been trying to deliver very positive messages like being like freedom, equality, braveness. But now what I from their action on filming Mulan in the Uyghur region and thanking the the propaganda department, Chinese propaganda departments in their film and credits just give me one message, which is the loyalty to China, to the Chinese market, and that is very disappointing. That's a huge disappointment to me.
Johar Elham, Uyghur Human Rights Fellow at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. You can check out her book, Uyghurs Fight to Free Her Father. Johar, thanks so much for your insight into these issues and really good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me today.
Well, as we've been seeing, the Chinese government continues to make gains throughout the region. They continue to aggress against Taiwan, and they've already taken over Hong Kong. And this is going to be a major election issue. It will be, because Joe Biden has been extraordinarily warm toward the Chinese government. Again, there's an intelligence report that came out earlier this year. The media only paid attention to half that report. Half the report focused on the Russians interfering in the election supposedly to help Trump. The other half said that China and Iran were interfering to help Joe Biden. It is not a grave shock that Joe Biden continues to be incredibly friendly toward the Chinese government. Meanwhile, the Trump administration continues to not only be unfriendly to the Chinese government, they continue to broker peace deals. There's a brand new peace deal today between Bahrain and Israel that is historic in nature. The president of the United States brokered it. It is very, very good news. So, you know, it is worth noting that the same Joe Biden who proclaims that he is going to restore America's place in the world continues to make overtures to a Chinese government that is becoming increasingly aggressive over time. Has Joe Biden even said anything recently? I haven't noticed if he has, about the Chinese oppression of Uyghur Muslims or about their subjugation of Hong Kong. How about the NBA? How about Disney? The same people who will virtue signal about how America is systemically racist, cruel, and evil to its own minorities will completely ignore all the evils happening in other countries so long as they can make a quick buck, which is pretty disgusting stuff. Already coming up, we're going to be joined by Senator Ted Cruz. He's going to stop by to talk about the fact that he is on President Trump's shortlist for the Supreme Court. Plus, we'll get to everything from the failed relief package in the Senate to his recollections on 9/11 and what he thinks needs to happen in order for the country to come back together. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Dr. Farrell in Palo Cedro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palo Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS, number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS, 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. Reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, and the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated, and if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to rich4reverses.com.
841-0908. Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Furnished by Donors Choose. Choose.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Senator Ted Cruz. Of course, Senator Cruz is the senator for the state of Texas and is host of Verdict, available anywhere you get podcasts. Senator Cruz, good to talk to you, sir.
Man, always great to be with you.
So first of all, congrats on being put on President Trump's list of potential SCOTUS nominees. Frankly, I think that you'd be awesome on the Supreme Court because you're iconoclastic and you know what the Constitution says. And I think that'd be more appreciated, frankly, on the Supreme Court than in the Senate these days. But congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's obviously an incredible honor to be considered for the court. I'm certainly grateful for the confidence that the president has shown in me. As you know, I've spent my whole life fighting to defend the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and the Supreme Court is central and pivotal in that fight. You know, just in a couple of weeks, I've got a book coming out that I've spent much of this spring and summer writing that is entirely focused on the Supreme Court. And the book is called One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Seat Can Change History. And it goes through the importance of the court. But what it does, every chapter focuses on a different constitutional liberty. And so it goes through free speech and religious liberty and the Second Amendment and U.S. sovereignty. It goes through democracy and keeping the people in charge of elections instead of unelected judges. And every chapter tells the inside war story of litigating the landmark cases in these areas. And as you know, before I was in the Senate, my career was as a U.S. Supreme Court litigator. So that's what I did for a living, was argue cases before the Supreme Court. And so the book is designed to really give the inside story of what's going on. It's designed so that you don't have to be a lawyer to read it. It explains the cases in a way that I think is fun and interesting, but it also underscores just how fragile each of these rights are, that every one of them is hanging by a single vote, 5-4 at the Supreme Court. And you know, I'm glad the president put out this new list. I intend to keep fighting to defend the Constitution in the Senate and in the political realm, but I think defending the Constitution through the Supreme Court is immensely, immensely important.
Now, Senator Cruz, you know, when it comes to the Republican record on selecting Supreme Court nominees, it's been pretty poor. Democrats never miss. I mean, every single Democrat that has ever nominated a Supreme Court justice has gotten exactly what they wanted out of the Supreme Court justice. It seems like Republicans are about at a 50-50 rate here. Even justices who are largely perceived as pretty good end up leaving the fold on some pretty extraordinary issues. I mean, I was a big Neil Gorsuch fan, and his ruling on that Civil Rights Act case with regard to transgenderism and homosexuality being now written in the Civil Rights Act is pretty extraordinarily left and kind of crazy. Why is it that conservatives keep screwing this up, and why don't conservatives actually just have a litmus test for who they would nominate to the court the way the Democrats do? Democrats will openly say, we're not nominating anybody to the court unless they're going to uphold Roe versus Wade. But Republicans will not openly just say, we're not nominating anybody to the court unless they'll say that Roe versus Wade is a bad decision. Why is that?
Because Republicans too often are idiots. you know, the last chapter of my book focuses exactly on this question, on Supreme Court nominations and how to get them right and how we've gotten them wrong. And it traces that history that you just referenced. So you're right. Democrats get almost 100% of their nominees vote in almost every instance exactly the way the Democrats who appointed them wanted to. And we bat at best 500. And so the last chapter traces the history of Republican Supreme Court nominees, starting with Eisenhower. And it goes through over and over again all of the incredible mistakes we've made. Many of the worst judicial activists were put on the Supreme Court by Republicans. And it's not that we're bad at it. There's actually a pattern. There's a way to tell on the front end, which is those justices that have stood strong, that have honored their oath, that have defended the Constitution, people like Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, people like my former boss on the court, Chief Justice William Rehnquist, they all have similarities. They all served in the executive branch. They all were vocally and courageously defenders of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And they all were excoriated. They were pounded. They faced enormous criticism for doing so, and they didn't wither. And what I'm looking for with judicial nominees and especially the Supreme Court is a proven record of when have you stood up and defended the Constitution and paid a price, been clobbered, because the alternative, whenever we appoint people that don't have a record, but someone says, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, trust me, they're really good, 100% of the time they've been train wrecks. And so the book that I've got coming out talks at great length, is very critical of John Roberts, for example, who particularly recently has turned into an absolute disaster. And it's critical also of both Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. And it goes through and compares the record of what kind of nominees we want so that we get it right. The Democrats, part of the reason the court, every one of these decisions, our fundamental liberties are dangling by a thread, is because we keep failing to get it right, and the stakes are too high. Joe Biden would get it right from his perspective. Every person Joe Biden would put on the court would take away your free speech, take away your religious liberty, would erase the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights, would ban the death penalty nationwide. I mean, there are a lot of issues people don't even realize are dangling by a thread. Would give up U.S. sovereignty to the United Nations and the World Court. I have a whole chapter talking about a case that I argued twice before the Supreme Court called Medellin versus Texas, where we were fighting against who decides, the American people or the United Nations. And right now we're one vote away from the court giving up your authority to decide the rules and laws in America. And I think that may well be the most important issue in this 2020 election, is the Supreme Court and judicial nominations and defending the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
And Senator Cruz, when you look across the country at the treatment of lockdowns, it is pretty astonishing how all of the Republican states that handled COVID a lot better than some of these deep blue states have been criticized, whether it's Ron DeSantis in Florida, whether it's Greg Abbott in Texas, whether it is Doug Ducey in Arizona. They've been seen as obviously the bad guys in this entire COVID saga, President Trump obviously seen as the bad guy in this entire COVID saga. Meanwhile, New York continues to be extraordinarily locked down, despite the fact that New York's curve was crushed because pretty much everybody died. The same thing happened in New Jersey. They're still locked down. The media continued to promulgate this theory that schools are going to be chief vectors of transmission, despite the complete lack of evidence that is the case. Again, it's hard not to read this politically. I don't want to read pandemic response politically, but at this point, it's very difficult not to read it that way.
Everything that Democrats say and do right now is 100% political. There is zero interest on actually addressing something on substance. So if you look at the states across the country, the media, and by the way, one of the consequences, you and I have talked about this before, one of the consequences of the age of Trump is that the media is broken. They've lost their mind. They hate Donald Trump so much that they don't even pretend to be journalists. They are simply organs of the Democratic Party. So when it comes to the pandemic, I mean, look at the Democratic convention where they held up Andrew Cuomo as this paragon of COVID response. And New York is not even by a little bit, is by far the epicenter of the worst disaster on COVID in the country, where the death rate exceeded other states like Texas and Florida by 10x. And by the way, it's not just an accident that it did. It was actually a result of failed, disastrous Democratic policies where Governor Cuomo mandated, let's send people who are sick with COVID into nursing homes. That's a good idea. You got a bunch of vulnerable people who are elderly and have other significant health issues. Let's send people with COVID into the nursing homes. And I think it will go down in history as one of the most catastrophic public policy decisions. And yet, the press heralds him as like, I don't understand when your policies have resulted in the death of more of your citizens than any state in the country, how that can be held up as a success story. But from the Democratic perspective, their objective is singular: defeat Donald Trump. That's all they care about. Towards that end, their public policy position is, every business must close. Everyone must lose their job. No relief from Washington, and every school must close. By the way, to show you just how ridiculously political and partisan the Democrats and the media are being about this, come November 3rd, if God forbid Joe Biden wins, and I hope and pray that he does not, I'm fighting hard to prevent it. But if he does, mark my words, that very week, the week of the election, if Joe Biden wins, suddenly everyone will say, magically, everything's okay now. Go back to work. Go back to school. Problem solved. You won't even need Joe Biden to be sworn in. You just need him to win the election. And it's kind of like, you remember in 2009 when Barack Obama won the Nobel Prize and he'd been in the White House like 12 minutes and he won the Nobel Peace Prize? He won the Nobel Prize for not being George W. Bush. That was sufficient. Okay, you're not George W. Bush. We'll give you the Nobel Peace Prize. It's sort of the same thing. Joe Biden, if he wins, suddenly not being Donald Trump, crisis is over. And that shows how ridiculously politicized these shutdowns are. Yes, the virus is serious. We need to treat it seriously. But shutting down every business and every school is not a rational public policy response to keeping people safe.
More on that in just a second. But first, let's talk about this election. This is an important election, and Democrats are pulling out all the stops to get out the vote for their side. It means ballot harvesting. It means registering everybody. It means universal mail-in voting. That means that conservatives have to have an extraordinarily solid get-out-the-vote effort. And that is why I'm urging you to join an effort sponsored by Job Creators Network. They're working with the biggest conservative hosts in America, like me, Dan Bongino, Sean Hannity, Dennis Prager. Now, all your favorites. This election is about one thing: turnout. The left has their get-out-the-vote machine. We need our own. That is why the single most important thing you can do to save our country is go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com, become a volunteer in the biggest get-out-the-vote effort in conservative history. You'll be given tasks that can make a difference in November. Do a little, do a lot, but please do your part. Job Creators Network knows that you're looking for a way to help out. Because, let's face it, everybody's looking for a way to help out these days. I get that question all the time. How can I help? Well, I'm telling you right now, go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. That is KeepAmericaAmerica.com right now. And get involved with Job Creators Network, pushing the Get Out the Vote effort for conservatives. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Coming up, more with Senator Ted Cruz. We'll be right back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. And Senator Cruz, let's talk a little bit about the Senate races, because right now, you know, everybody's focused in on the presidential race because that always steals the headlines during a presidential cycle. But the fact is that it seems to me, whatever you think of President Trump, the real key for conservatives is that the Senate cannot fall into Democratic hands. I mean, they've pledged to end the filibuster, and then they've simultaneously pledged to pack the Supreme Court, as well as to increase the number of states by adding Puerto Rico and D.C., thus permanently shifting the balance of power in Washington, D.C., in the Senate toward Democrats, presumably. They want to add a couple of states that they already believe are Democratic in nature, which would fundamentally break sort of the bargain that's been held true since the beginning of the Republic, which is that if there are two parties and you're adding states, you typically add one that is, you know, believed to be, you know, aligned with one of the parties. You know, those are some of the systemic changes Democrats are talking about. How important is it for Republicans to maintain the Senate? What do you think Democrats will do if they gain the Senate and the presidency?
So enormously important. And this actually, this loops back and connects to where we started this conversation, where we're talking about the Supreme Court, because they're related. In both instances, the Democrats are ruthlessly committed to advancing their leftist policies, and that they will do whatever is necessary. So if we wake up in January of next year and we have a Biden, Pelosi, Schumer government, I agree with you that some of the first steps they'll do, let's say we have 50 Democratic senators. They will admit D.C. and Puerto Rico because they believe it'll take them from 50 Democratic senators to 54, instantaneously growing their majority. They will grant amnesty to millions of people here illegally because they believe that the illegal immigrants will vote Democratic. They will act to preserve and to institutionalize their power. They are about power. Republicans, unfortunately, we don't take these fights nearly as seriously. So the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, we got a lot accomplished, but we could have gotten much more accomplished if we had the seriousness about these fights the Democrats have. The Senate is very much in the balance, and we right now have a 53-47 majority in the Senate, but the states that are up this term in the Senate are states that are purple states or even blue states. They're states that we've got a lot of tough elections. And if Democrats take the majority, they'll end the filibuster. This is another example where I urge my colleagues to end the filibuster when we had Republican majorities in both houses. Let's really deliver on our promises. Republicans didn't want to do so, and everyone acknowledges now if Democrats take the majority, they'll end the filibuster, and they will ram through. I believe that a Biden, Pelosi, Schumer government would do more damage in 2 years than Barack Obama did in eight. And by the way, one of the consequences we'll see is the Democratic Party right now is being driven by the extremes, by the far left. The people driving the agenda are Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and AOC. And, you know, it was interesting. I was up a couple of weeks ago in Alaska. I was campaigning for Dan Sullivan, the senator's running for reelection there. And I told the folks there, I said, you know, y'all may not know this, but AOC is on the ballot in Alaska. And, you know, people were kind of puzzled and confused. And, you know, what do you mean by that? And I said, listen, if Dan Sullivan loses, if a number of these senators running in states that are potentially close lose, Chuck Schumer will be the majority leader. And if Chuck Schumer is the majority leader, Schumer has seen Democrats all over the country being primaried from the far left and losing one after the other after the other. Schumer will be terrified of being primaried from the left by AOC. AOC is right there in New York. She's incredibly popular. And there will be nothing that Chuck Schumer's majority leader wouldn't do if AOC demands it, because he will gallop to his left. And so when you want to talk about a radical agenda, that's where the Democratic Party is. And Joe Biden's not going to stand up to the radicals. He's handed the party over to them. He's let Bernie Sanders essentially write his platform. And that is really, really dangerous.
Well, Senator Cruz, a final sort of parting question for you here. So obviously it's now 19 years since 9/11. That means there's an entire generation of Americans who have grown up literally not remembering 9/11 or what it meant. I commented today that it is puzzling to live at a time when, you know, we are not under a significant existential attack, and yet we are tearing each other's eyes out, politically speaking. It seems like this would be a good time to remember what unified us in the first place, but it feels like we're less unified than ever. What are your thoughts on the 19th anniversary of 9/11?
Well, September 11th was a horrific moment in our country's history. I remember I was living in D.C. at the time. I was serving in the George W. Bush administration. Heidi, my wife, was working in the White House. And when the first plane hit, I remember watching in horror on the television. As the first plane hit, everyone thought, oh, well, this is some sort of terrible mistake. A pilot made a horrendous wrong turn or something happened. And then we saw the second plane hit the second tower, and everyone realized this was not an accident. This is a deliberate act of terror. And the horror that played out, Heidi and I lost a good friend, Barbara Olson, that morning. She was in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, and she was killed that morning. I remember Heidi was in the White House, and initially the Secret Service came through, told everyone, stay where you are. Just stay calm, stay where you are. When the second plane hit, the Secret Service ran through the hallways and they said, get out. don't walk, run. And so Heidi, she was wearing high heels. She took off her heels and sprinted out. She couldn't get her car out of the parking garage. And so she walked home. We were living in Northern Virginia. She walked across the bridge and walked home in her bare feet. And I remember the next night we had several friends of ours come together. And we had just a prayer session for the country. And these were friends across multiple faiths, Christian, Jewish, and it was an interfaith prayer session just to lift up our country and pray. And that spirit of unity as we stood against that horrific evil that attacked us, it was powerful. And I hope we can find that unity again. I hope this anger we're seeing, will dissipate. And I think the way to do so is get back to the shared values that built this country. Get back to the principles of freedom, the principles of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. You know, the beauty of the Constitution is it allows diversity of thought. It allows free speech, allows everybody to speak. And that can be a unifying principle. And yet in today's angry political world, we seem to have forgotten those unifying principles. And Ben, since we're wrapping up here, I want to just encourage folks to do two things. Number one, you mentioned the Verdict podcast. I put out a podcast every week with your colleague, Michael Knowles. It's Verdict with Ted Cruz. I encourage folks to sign up, follow us, download it, subscribe. You can get it on YouTube or anywhere else their podcast. But number two, the book we've got coming out, One Vote Away. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. You can pre-order it on Amazon. You can go to onevoteaway.com, onevoteaway.com, and pre-order it there. But it really goes into in depth and I think helpful detail the incredible stakes of this election and the need to defend our constitutional liberties.
Well, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, really appreciate your time, sir, and good luck in an increasingly partisan environment. All righty, folks. We'll be back here next week for much, much more. Please try not to burn down the country, as I say, every weekend. But this time, let's listen. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump honored a U.S. soldier Friday for his role in rescuing dozens of hostages who were set to be executed by Islamic State militants in Iraq.
During a White House ceremony, the president awarded the Medal of Honor to Sergeant Major Thomas Patrick Payne, who came under enemy fire during a daring mission in 2015. Payne repeatedly entered a burning building to save hostages.
He received orders to evacuate, but he refused to do so. He didn't want to leave anyone behind.
Payne was initially given the Army's second highest award for the Special Operations Raid, which was upgraded to a Medal of Honor. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Meanwhile, the president made a stop in Pennsylvania Friday, visiting the Flight 93 National Memorial, marking the 19th anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks, and he honored those who died not only in Shanksville, but also New York City and at the Pentagon. After delivering a somber tribute to the brave men and women aboard that flight, the President and First Lady laid a wreath honoring the victims. The daily virus toll in the United States has declined.
After peaking in early August, the number of daily deaths in the U.S. from the coronavirus is declining again. Deaths first peaked on April 24th at an average of just over 2,200 each day, most coming in the Northeast. Then over the summer, outbreaks in Texas, California, and Florida drove daily rates to a second peak of just over 1,100 on August 1st. Now about 700 Americans are dying of the virus each day. That's according to an Associated Press analysis of data compiled by Johns Hopkins University. I'm Shelley Adler.
And a new poll found that the coronavirus pandemic has taken a harsh toll on the mental health of young adults here in the United States. More news, more analysis at townhall.com.
relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
On September 18th, don't miss Infidel, the new heart-pounding political thriller inspired by true events.
You are an American spy.
What? Infidel tells the story of one man's incredible journey of faith and survival after being kidnapped in the Middle East. And his wife's courage to never give up on him.
This is terrorism.
When his country abandoned him, his freedom became her mission.
I came here to save his life.
Starring Jim Caviezel.
Do your job.
See Infidel, only in theaters September 18th.
The United Kingdom has struck its first major post-Brexit trade deal after signing an agreement in principle with Japan.
The International Trade Secretary, Liz Truss, said the deal promised greater benefits for digital trade and financial services and had been struck in record time. But analysts say that the deal largely mirrors existing arrangements between the EU and Japan and that the expected boost from this agreement to GDP of 0.07% is a tiny fraction compared with what the UK stands to lose by foregoing its existing relationship with Brussels.
That's the BBC's Darshini David reporting. Finance ministers from five of Europe's biggest economies called yesterday for the European Union to produce strict rules for new private digital currencies such as Facebook-backed Libra and ban those that don't comply. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Senate Intelligence Committee keeping a tight grip on transcripts involving Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Senators Ron Johnson and Charles Grassley say the Intel Committee is refusing their request for transcripts involving the origins of the Russia collusion probe. Senator Grassley, a member of the Judiciary Committee, complains to the Hill of what he calls a certain institutional mindset on the part of Intelligence Committee members that judiciary has no role in matters of national security. The senators have been seeking the intel as part of their probes into the Obama administration's alleged role in what may have been the illegal origins of the Russia collusion charges against President Trump. Bob Agner reporting.
Belarusian authorities detained scores of demonstrators Friday while seeking to end more than a month of protests against the country's authoritarian president, Alexander Lukashenko, who was reelected on August 9th. The protesters are saying the election was rigged. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
What is community? A location? A place to live and work? Or is it something more profound? A force deeper than words can describe, uniting us to reach out and support each other. No matter the trial or circumstance, we are one. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to stand strong with our community. We know we can get through anything when we do it together. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Absolutely true. I couldn't have said it better myself. America's spiritual leader, or at least the spiritual leader of the Democratic Party, the Reverend Al Tawana Brawley Sharpton. Now he's an award-winning journalist. He's an NBC News anchorman. These are the standards they have adopted. And they're proud. They get awards. They give each other awards. Lucite blocks, golden statuettes. Place them on your mantle. Tell your grandchildren what a great job you've done. Well, happy Friday to you, and welcome. It's another wacky day, and we're going to have to come up with a new name for it, like Neo-America or something, because it's not the America that anybody grew up in. It's the America that the radical left has inflicted upon us. We also call them the Democratic Party. And Joe Biden is their candidate. He's looking for your vote on Election Day or at some point thereafter. They're a little flexible when it comes to this sort of thing these days. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is our telephone number here. And I'm marveling at all of the corruption, that we have. We just, it's casual now. We take it for granted. The level of corruption in the United States, Democrats and the news media are really focused on that. Republicans don't get away with anything. In fact, they get lynched for things that they didn't even do, like lie to the American people about the coronavirus because Bob Woodward excised a fragment of a sentence and misrepresented what was said. And the rest of the news media, as we still call them, I guess, John Carl at ABC News and the rest, why did you lie? Why did you lie to the President of the United States yesterday? And I've got some responses to that for that matter. And we're going to get into that stuff. But more corruption. We just learned about more corruption last night, this morning. It turns out that, the Mueller investigator, the special counsel, is a little doddering, and he hired all these Hillary Clinton donors and lefties, Democrats, to investigate President Trump. And they came up empty-handed. They tried the best they could, but they came up empty-handed. And it is... it's a remarkable thing, but it turns out at least 27 of the cell phones used by special counsel Robert Mueller and his team have been wiped clean. In fact, they were wiped clean before the Department of Justice Inspector General couldn't, because they were being investigated, and they destroyed the evidence because there's evidence there, just like Peter Stroke, who, by the way, was on Comedy Central last night. Where else would you go? It's a Democrat world. We're just living in it. At least the propaganda apparatus of the United States of America is dedicated almost entirely to the Democrat Party and the radical left, but I'm splitting hairs there. Remarkable stuff. So they're destroying evidence, just as like Hillary Clinton destroyed the, 33,000 emails, could have been hundreds of thousands of pages, and they used bleach bit, you remember, and what, with a cloth or something? You remember Hillary Clinton mockingly making fun of the destruction of evidence, which at the time was under subpoena by the U.S. Congress, but pay no attention to that because the news media smoothed it over for her. Because they're spectacularly dishonest, each and every one of them. It's extraordinary, virtually each and every one of them, and absolutely extraordinary stuff. It is also, you may have noted, I did this morning, and Fox News did this morning, that it is September 11th, 2020. That means that it is the 19th anniversary of the radical Islamic terrorist jihadi troglodyte attack on civilization, where hijacked planes slicing throats with razors and getting the cockpit and crashing planes into buildings. You know, those two buildings in New York, about 50,000 people worked in those two buildings any given day. They had hoped to kill that many people because there's a death cult loose on the planet, and its name is Radical Islam. The left won't say, they'll gasp at the truth. The truth is really anathema to them. But it's an extraordinary thing. And I was watching this. I have this DVR. I think it's a digital video recorder. Is that what it is? Is that what it's called? And I can record multiple. It's quite a miracle. I can record multiple channels at the same time. And so I've mentioned before, I record CNN and MSDNC. And what do we call it? It's QNN, because they spread more conspiracy theories than the internet. And so QNN and MSDNC and Fox News Today. Fox News Today actually opened with that they had a couple of leads, and one of their leads was the anniversary of September 11th. They have been paying a lot of attention to the 19th anniversary of September 11th, going to the reading of the names in Lower Manhattan, which Democrats didn't want to do, de Blasio didn't want to do. They didn't want to have the lights projected into the sky commemorating where the towers once stood, because they're Democrats. They're not on our side, and they have no regard for human life whatsoever. See Planned Parenthood. And it's, that's where it all starts. That's where you, you know, that's the baby bottle of, not caring about human life. And so Fox News had that, Gold Star father. They had firefighters and first responders, and they're remembering it. And I went to CNN and I went to look where they were, and it was an attack on Trump. Bob Woodward, how dare Donald Trump call Bob Woodward something impolite, because Bob Woodward's their hero. And, you know, never mind that Anthony Fauci has completely contradicted whatever that claim is in Bob Woodward's book, that President Trump said one thing to Bob Woodward and another thing to the public. That's not true, but that's the storyline that they're pimping today, with their big purple hats and their long cheetah coats and their platform shoes and their big walking stick, jewel encrusted with a gold head. And that's a, so that's it. And I went to CNN to see what kind of coverage they were giving to September 11th, the anniversary, 9/11. And they got to it, CNN got to it, it starts at 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. is their morning show. And at 6:50 was the first mention of the September 11th anniversary. They spent 13 seconds on the anniversary, I counted it, you know, 1-1000, 2-1000, 1 Alabama, 2 Alabama. And 13 seconds, the anchor, Schmalison Camerata, spent, oh, here's a live picture of the Pentagon where they unfurl the flag, boring. And then they turned to this left-wing hack, what's his name, John Avlon. He's an expert on everything and nothing at once. And he spent about 4 minutes attacking President Trump. So they used the September 11th anniversary to really kind of derisively, dismissively make passing reference to the fact that it's the anniversary. And then they attacked President Trump, they said, for peddling conspiracy theories like, you know, Muslims were cheering in New Jersey as the towers were going down, which is true, by the way. But, you know, at CNN, they tell you that's a conspiracy theory because pretty much everything they tell you is dishonest in one way or another. So they attacked the president after, and it was, again, 10 minutes left in the hour. 13 seconds spent on the actual anniversary, then several minutes with this twerp making false claims about President Trump. That's what you get awards for in journalism today. But that's not to be outdone. MSDNC with Morning Joke there and his semi-inflatable third wife. He's got his third wife over there. You know, hey, it happens. And, you know, some people are semi-inflatable. She can be used as a flotation device in a flood situation, so that is handy. If you're flying with her, you know, and you have to evacuate the plane in a water landing, stay close to Mika. But at 7:32, that is to say 1 hour and 32 minutes into the show, that was their first mention, and it was immediately an attack on President Trump. Immediately, the whole thing was an attack on, yeah, September 11th, that Trump guy, and they immediately reverted to attacking, because they don't care. They're not, they're unpatriotic, they're anti-patriotic, they're un-American, they're anti-American, they're awful people. They're just terrible. They lack humanity and decency and civility, and they're just awful people. Terrible, horrible people, honestly. I mean, they're in their personal lives, too. That's why they had to marry each other, because they're just awful, horrible people. Microsoft came out yesterday, and they announced what the Trump administration has been saying for months now. And now the news media is like, what? Microsoft says that Russia, China, and Iran are tampering in our elections? And it turns out Microsoft says that China and Iran are in Biden's camp. Of course they are. It was Obama and Biden that threw the tens of billions of dollars at Iran, the world's number one state sponsor of terror, and allowed them to continue enriching uranium and spin centrifuges and work on their ballistic missiles. Of course they're thankful to Biden. Are you kidding me? They've got him tucked under their turbans. He's one of their fluffers. And they're having, and the communists in China, they got Joe Biden's son, Hunter, you know, the stripper, baby knocker-upper with the crack and the stealing his brother's badge and dating his brother's widow. You know, it's a nice family. And the $83,300 a month no-show job in Ukraine that the news media has covered up for the Biden family because they're corrupt. Microsoft came out with the news, and I'll get into that. The President Trump has said this, and you may remember, like Leslie Stahl at 60 Minutes yelled at him. Well, why can't you just say it's just Russia? It's just, it's the Democrat Party talking points are it's just Russia. Now Microsoft has said it, and now the news media will just stop talking about it. That's how that's going to go. William Barr also pointed this out recently. I think it was with Wolf Blitzer, and that Iran and China are in there too. And now Microsoft says more than we got from the intelligence community and the U.S. government and the Trump administration and the Barr DOJ is that Iran is also pro-Biden and anti-Trump. I can't imagine why. I actually can't imagine why, but this is a good. Democrats, another big success for them in the courts. They get to count illegal aliens in the census, which will, they're hoping, give them more seats in Congress. This is the same thing they did with slaves, by the way. It's the 21st century version of the three-fifths of a person, which was a Democrat thing, so they could count slaves, and the compromise was you'd count them as not a whole person, but three-fifths of a person. That was so Democrat slave owners in the South could be Democrats, as they are Democrats and slavers and racists and, you know, the lynch mob and all that. That's so they could have more seats in the House of Representatives, so they could have more votes, so they could keep their slaves. That's the legacy of the Democrat Party, the real legacy of the Democrat Party, not the one that CNN or NBC or any of them are going to share with you, but I will. And I've got a great deal of good stuff for you today. You know, President Trump, oh, he didn't want to create a panic. He didn't want to create a panic. Well, yeah, anybody remember that you couldn't get toilet paper for weeks in the United States of America? And the news media was creating a panic, and the Democrats were creating a panic, but I repeat myself. And we had stores in our area that were actually rationing after weeks, and you couldn't get anything. And then we had the little neighborhood stores. You could only buy two individual rolls at a time. They got them some special deal from a hotel chain that didn't need them anymore because nobody was going to hotels. And it was President Trump that was scaring everybody. It's pretty amazing. The lie is so big that it would make Joseph Goebbels blush. That's the Democrat Party and the media today. Extraordinary stuff. Also, you know, in the Commonwealth of Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., where I reside, they have the Coon Man, Governor Coon Man, the blackface Klan hood racist from, you know, and he can do the moonwalk and all that stuff. And remember, for a minute there, he was going to resign, but then the media said, ah, don't worry about it. We'll cover it for you. And then sure enough, they did. So Coon Man is still the governor there. And he is term limited because in Virginia, you're limited, amazingly, to one term. You can't do a second consecutive term. And it's kind of a remarkable thing, but he is, because Coon Man in the Klan outfit is term limited, he's out, and they're going to get a new governor this November, or next year, rather. They have off-year elections. And guess who's announcing that he's running for the gubernatorship in the Commonwealth of Virginia? The lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, who has been twice very credibly accused of rape. And as Whoopi Goldberg would say, rape, you know, not the, not, like she said that Roman Polanski drugging and repeatedly raping a 13-year-old girl wasn't rape, because she knows the difference, I guess. She's a Hollywood person. And it's a funny thing. Justin Fairfax, twice accused very credibly of rape by two very credible women. And the news media swept it under the rug. And Justin Fairfax, a Democrat, he said at the time that this actually elevated his standing. This put him in good with Democrats. I'm not kidding. I'm going to share this with you. I went and I pulled the old articles. And he's announcing now that he's going to run for governor. And if Democrats have their way, he will win. They'll vote for this rapist. And then there's, whatever happened to Tara Reid, you know, Joe Biden's accuser, used to work for him as a staffer on Capitol Hill, not a complete stranger like Christine Blasey Ford. And the news media swept it under the rug because that's how corrupt they are. They protect Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. And they protect Justin Fairfax, a.k.a. Lord Fairfax. They protect Joe Biden. It doesn't matter what your crimes are. You're a sexual predator. The Democrats want you in the White House and the governor's mansion. They want you to date their daughters, I'm pretty sure.
I know it wasn't rape.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
All pillows and mattresses aren't created equal. The Purple Grid makes purple mattresses and pillows like nothing you've ever slept on before. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. With more than 2,800 open-air channels designed to neutralize body heat, the purple mattress provides a cooling effect that no other mattress can replicate. This cutting-edge technology doesn't stop with mattresses. Every purple pillow is engineered with the grid for total head and neck support and absolute airflow, so you're always on the cool side of the pillow. Try Purple risk-free with free shipping and returns, and financing is available as low as 0% APR for qualified customers. Go to purple.com/plant10 and use the promo code PLANT10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/plant10, promo code PLANT10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Terms apply.
At CDW, we get the importance of clear communication.
I was on a conference call, and I think my boss asked me to send her roasted beets in a can.
Talk to the experts at CDW. Using Poly headsets and cameras, they'll orchestrate a collaboration solution that lets you hear and see clearly on any device, any meeting platform.
Huh. Looks like she asked me to send her the report sheets when I can. You like beets?
No. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/poly.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
The big TV networks have banned Blitz, the new book by David Horowitz. They won't even talk about it. Still, Blitz is a runaway bestseller. Now 8 weeks on the New York Times list and number one on Amazon. The big media are afraid of Blitz. Even Fox News won't have Horowitz on. Mike Huckabee says if everyone read Blitz, Trump would win in a landslide. Mark Levin says it's indispensable. And President Trump calls Blitz the hot book of 2020. It reveals his secret strategy and predicts big surprises in the weeks ahead. Blitz exposes the real agenda of radical groups like Antifa and names the secret billionaires out to stop Trump. You need to read Blitz. It's at bookstores everywhere. Or check out Newsmax's free offer for Blitz and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to blitz411.com, blitz411.com. Everyone is talking about Blitz. Find out why today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Yes. CNN is now acting as the defense attorney for the guy in Kenosha that was shot by 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, and CNN is just a disgrace to Western civilization. To call it a propaganda organization would be hate speech vis-a-vis other propaganda organizations. Spectacularly corrupt people. Wowza, I gotta say. Speaking of spectacularly corrupt people, this is kind of an amazing story. I just, every day, another Washington corruption story that should just knock everybody's socks off. And our fourth estate yawns as long as it's corrupt Democrats, because they are corrupt Democrats themselves. At least 27 phones from special counsel's office were wiped before DOJ Inspector General could review them. This is the National Review with this version of the story. May Reed McArdle writing the story for National Review. More than two dozen phones belonging to members of special counsel Robert Mueller's team were wiped clean of data before the Justice Department's Inspector General could comb them for records, the DOJ said in records released on Thursday. At least 27 phones were wiped of data before the DOJ Inspector General could review them, some reset to factory settings and some wiped, quote, accidentally, end quote, after the wrong password was entered too many times. See, they know that that's a technique for wiping the phones. According to 87 pages of Department of Justice records regarding the phones issued to members of the special counsel's office, including mobile phones that were reassigned, the special counsel's office wiped a total of 31 phones. Sure, why would this be a problem of any kind? Now, we know that these people are overwhelmingly Hillary Clinton supporters, donors. Some have worked, they have family ties to the Clinton political operation, and some of them do. And this is all okay, though. A phone belonging to Special Counsel James Quarles, quote, wiped itself out without intervention from him, the DOJ's records state. Really, Democrat phones just auto-cleanse themselves. It's quite extraordinary. There's more on this, and it is as appalling as you might imagine. It's just like Hillary Clinton wiping out tens of thousands of emails.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits?
Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The Backhoe & Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backhoe & Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco & Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco & Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Take the census today. For every person that isn't counted, Shasta County could lose up to $1,000 per year for the next 10 years. We know we can do great things when we come together and that there is power in our numbers. Do your part. Check your mailbox or front door for your paper form. You can also take the census by phone at 844-330-2020 or online at my2020census.gov. By taking a few minutes to fill out the 9-question confidential survey, you can help shape the future of our communities.
To keep children, their families, and their communities safe during this pandemic and in the weeks and months to come. We won't give up until every child we serve is safe and dreaming of a bright future. To learn more, go to children.org/help today. You can help children and families get through this crisis.
Did you wipe the surface?
What, like with a cloth or something?
I don't know. Well, you're the one asking the questions, bright boy. You're supposed to know. No, ask the question, get an answer, insist on an answer. That doesn't really work. Democrats just get fluffed. It's really appalling. It's like the San Fernando Valley in Washington, D.C. Is that they? A lot of jobs for fluffers. It's extraordinary stuff. Just appalling. So at least 27 government-issued cell phones given to the primarily Democrats that were investigating President Trump on that whole Russian collusion thing and all that funny bunny stuff, the Mueller special counsel investigators. And then the Department of Justice Inspector General wanted to investigate the special counsel. And guess what? In fact, according to this story, the special counsel's office wiped a total of 31 telephones. 31 telephones. How many phones do each one of you people need, honestly? And they have all kinds of excuses. My phone wiped itself. It was magic. I didn't do anything. It just wiped itself. These phones over here, somebody tried to punch in the wrong password too many times, and it wiped the phone clean. Who knew that would wipe your phone clean? They did. That's who. And they wiped their phones clean. Because, you know, the Peter Stroke and Lisa Page text messages hurt them. In fact, Peter Stroke, do you have that audio, Michael? Peter Stroke, he was on the Comedy Central channel last night with Trevor Noah, show and a channel that really nobody watches anymore. I think more people watch individual intersections in Chicago at any given time than watch Comedy Central. And it is, it's pretty amazing stuff. Peter Stroke, the FBI crook, he's a criminal. A career FBI criminal and a political hack partisan who abused whatever power he had in an effort to imprison innocent people. That's Peter Stroke's legacy and the FBI's legacy during the Obama years and perhaps well beyond when you look at the FISA courts and how many times they spied on American citizens by lying to the FISA court and misleading the FISA court, just like James Comey did, old J. Edgar Comey did. Just amazing stuff. So Stroke and Page, they got in trouble for the text messages. I can smell the Trump supporters and all this good stuff. And we've got an insurance policy. And meet you in the Xerox room. You know, I'll bring the thing. You know, it's all kinds of good stuff like that. And what's his name? Peter Stroke. Believe it or not, he's got a book. It's an absolute embarrassment. And now I don't think, because, I mean, honestly, you go on, Trevor Noah is a hard-hitting interview. You know what? Trevor Noah was a harder-hitting interview with Peter Stroke than, who was he on with the other day? He's making the rounds being fluffed by fake journalists who are advancing an anti-Trump agenda. And Peter Stroke is the hero of this story. I mean, look, CNN and MSNBC have hired most of the conspirators at this point. They're on the payroll. They're on the set. They're on TV. It's like, you know, hiring Gordon Liddy and Haldeman and Ehrlichman to cover the Watergate hearings. It's just these fake news organizations are so spectacularly corrupt that even Trevor Noah on Comedy Central, it used to be The Daily Show, is asking tougher questions. So Peter Stroke, last night, it started soundbite 25, I believe. Peter Stroke on The Daily Show last night. And he's this propaganda network of the Democrats just beats the band.
Every FBI agent, most every government employee has opinions. I have them. Everybody I've worked with did. And we talk about those in private. But the point is that every single day, all of us set that aside when we go to work. And part of what has been so corrosive about all this whole idea of having a deep state is, in my experience, that's absolutely false.
In my experience, that's absolutely false. He's one of the guys altering documents to railroad the other political party's presidential campaign, the president-elect, and the White House. He's the guy that went to the White House and then was involved in the changing of the 302 document, the FBI report on the interview with General Flynn. They changed it to represent the opposite of what they had actually concluded. He is the definition of the deep state. Speaking of which, at the Chris Plant store, we have deep state department shirts with the, it looks just like the State Department logo, but we added one word, and t-shirts. And I believe we have the coffee mugs for the deep state also, deep state coffee mugs and deep state. And it's, you know, in honor of Peter Stroke's fake interview on a fake channel on a fake news show where he told a fake version of the truth because he's a criminal. You see, he is an abuser of power and a criminal. He is Peter Stroke, a former FBI agent, a disgraced FBI agent, who the news media is treating like he's a conquering hero, which is as clear an indication as you're going to get anywhere as to how corrupt the news media is that the criminals are the heroes. What is the Rolling Stones song? Just as every cop is a criminal and all the sinners saints, the news media is so upside down. That was Peter Stroke saying there is no deep state. So let's go to the deep state and ask whether the deep state exists. Oh, okay. That sounds like a good idea. And Trevor Noah, said he, well, I don't believe in this. And, you know, there are actors inside the government whose personal feelings override the law and their jobs and their duty. And they, we know this to be true. This is known to be true. The Justice Department Inspector General's report revealed that these people acted based on their own beliefs and their own politics and against their duty, violated their duty. And Trevor Noah last night with, well, of course there's no deep state because you're my guest and I'm talking to you, but.
I don't believe in a deep state. I'm not a big conspiracy theory person in any way, shape, or form, but I do understand how it may look to somebody, especially a Trump voter, when Peter Strzok has emails saying we need to stop this person. And then more importantly, recently, an FBI lawyer was found to be doctoring documents. Once somebody is forging a document to, you know, to go with their bias, I mean, that shows you that people don't just leave their opinions at the door, doesn't it?
Right, but when you look at what happened to him, I mean, he's paying a severe, severe price for his penalty.
Oh, you hear that? He's an illiterate moron. He's paying a severe, severe price for his penalty. They're all morons. The interagency process is like it's the little bus on the way to school. This is unbelievable how corrupt these people are, and they're dumb. He's you can look at him, you can tell from still photos that he's dumb, and then there's the Lisa Page thing, and I'll leave it at that. But these guys are so corrupt. And Trevor Noah, he's not a news guy. He runs what's supposed to be a comedy show. It's not funny, but, you know, that's because the Democrats murdered humor. They murdered comedy. It's nowhere to be found because the left objects to it. So there it is. He paid a severe price for his penalty. And, did he? And it's not over yet. Now, are we going to get into the John Durham investigation? Are we going to get into – and he did mention – that was a harder-hitting question than anything CNN has put to Peter Strzok, than anything that the Washington Post has put to Peter Strzok. And I know it's Strzok. He deserves to be called Peter Strzok because, every year is just like high school. So it continued, Peter Strzok.
There were things that I knew and others knew and still knew to this day that if we had let it out, it would have really, really damaged Trump's campaign.
Really, really.
Never happened. Look at what happened with all the, the speech that Director
all
Comey gave about Secretary Clinton, about
But wait. If I may interrupt you there, let's take a step back. You see, so I feel like that statement you've just made presents the veneer of impartiality, because if you have something that you can't release on Donald Trump that the public, if they knew about Donald Trump, wouldn't vote for him, but you can't use that, then why even tell the people about that?
Well, because there's a lie being made. There's a false accusation that Pete Strzok is biased.
Ask him about the 302 form. But again, he stopped him to call him on his BS, which is more than CNN is going to do. And this is supposed to be a comedy show, and he's not a journalist. And he's doing a better job than is just kind of amazing stuff, just absolutely ridiculous. Trevor Noah.
You have now had quite the journey, you know, in and out of law enforcement. What would you change if you could go back? What are the things that you look back at as an agent and say, man, that's where I didn't do the right thing, or I didn't do it in the right way, and I should have done that differently?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, I wish I never would have sent the damn text that I did. I mean, that's the obvious, easy answer.
Oh, the one showing that you're corrupt, that you're a political actor with a badge abusing your power. How about that altered 302 document based on the General Flynn interview at the White House, which was an ambush that Comey was involved in because of your politics? And Comey lying to the FISA courts. Let's get into lying to the FISA courts. How many? And a report came out on that last week. Thousands and thousands of FISA warrants granted, and what was it? Six or seven of them were deemed to be legitimate, and the rest not by exclusion. That's how that works. Pretty extraordinary stuff. And that's the Democrat Party. And that's and honestly, Trevor Noah, who is not funny, was given this job for all the wrong reasons. And he asked better questions than CNN did of Peter Strzok. And Peter Strzok is a pathological case. I'm convinced that he's a kind of a psycho liar. And if he has one regret, it's that he got caught. because the text messages. And that brings us back to the Mueller team. See the text messages with the, I can smell the Trump supporters and we've got an insurance policy and we can't let them win. And rah, rah, we're all for Hillary. And gosh, I'm really corrupt and I'll meet you in my car in the garage for another quickie because, you know, we're both cheating on our whatevers. And that's okay. That's just fine. And also, James Comey went up to J. Edgar Comey, as we like to call him, because he's just destroyed the reputation of the FBI pretty much all by himself, along with Peter Stroke and some other corrupt people. And he wishes he hadn't sent the text messages, or at least that he had entered the wrong password so many times that it erased it for him, as was the case with the Mueller team. You see, Stroke's greatest regret is that he got caught. He got caught because of the text messages. The text messages were discovered because the government-issued cell phones were handed over, and they're too stupid to use their personal phones, or he's afraid the wife would look at the text messages and find that he's, you know, slipping off with Sally in the alley over here. And so he used the government phones for all of his nefarious stuff. And there's a great, what was that, FBI love story, FBI lovebirds, Dean Cain and Christy Swanson reading aloud the text messages from Peter Stroke and Lisa Page. Funny stuff. Well, it looks like the Mueller team learned the lesson that Peter Stroke wished he had learned earlier. And they have deleted all of the data from 31 cell phones used by the special counsel's team. Now, why would they do that? Is that standard? Is that just a normal thing that you destroy the data on government-issued cell phones when you're doing government work on them? Or is that another symbol, a representation of their corruption? And yes, we do have the deep state mug, the deep state department mug, coffee mug. Randy is texting me now from the Chris Plant store. And the t-shirts are great. It's the State Department symbol, the logo, the shield with the eagle. You remember when the left was saying if you use the eagle, that's fascist because Trump used an eagle somewhere. These people are really mentally ill. There's an epidemic of mental illness in the United States, and the Democrats seem to be getting more of their fair share, I got to say. And where is it? There's another one here that bombarded. Yes, Comey. Here's the Comey story from the Washington Times. This is great stuff from April 16th, 2018. James Comey, the headline is, James Comey thinks it's normal to smash old cell phones with a hammer. Because you remember the Hillary Clinton people, the campaign, they smashed their campaign cell phones and iPads and laptops and stuff. They hired people to smash them with hammers, and then they hired other people to use bleach bit to erase all the data because they were being investigated. And the Washington Times, Larry O'Connor, my friend Larry O'Connor, wrote the story in 2018. Of WMAL fame. You know him. One of the more fascinating nuggets not broadcast in Sunday's interview with James Comey on ABC News was an exchange over the Clinton email investigation. Interviewer George Stuffluffagus, of course a Clinton administration official slash award-winning journalist at ABC, asked the former FBI director about Clinton staffers destroying their Blackberries. In fact, a fact that has understandably raised suspicion for those who believe Hillary Clinton and those surrounding her may have destroyed evidence during the 2016 investigation overseen by Comey and Andrew McCabe. Also, the emails were under subpoena by the Congress, which was investigating when they destroyed them weeks after the subpoena came out. And then Hillary just made a joke about it, and the media has been covering it up forever since because they're not journalists at all. So Snuffluffagus asked one of the things that President Trump and his allies, he always got to, you see, George can't just ask the question about destroying evidence. He has to couch it in a way that polarizes it, that balkanizes it, that's us against them. Because, you know, the Democrats, they're real unifiers, and they want everybody to be calm. You know how they are. One of the biggest things that President Trump and his allies bring up is a fact, which you guys should be bringing up, that at some point her staff smashed Blackberries. Also, whitewashed the server. It's bleach bit, but everybody's too stupid to remember words in Washington. They pay them millions of dollars, and they have no idea what they're talking about. And Comey says, yeah, there was evidence that old Blackberries, after she was finished with them, were destroyed, which I think is a fair number of people do to make sure that if it's resold, You're going to smash it with hammers and then resell it? How stupid are these people, honestly? Someone doesn't end up with your information. Really, her campaign cell phones were going to be resold, and that's why they smashed them with hammers, so that people couldn't get the data. So Comey says it's okay with him. Uh-huh. And after that, they produced information back to the Department of State. They destroyed tens of thousands of emails. A software program to clean the server, it's called BleachBit. Can nobody remember anything? To make sure there was nothing on it. Or clean laptops to make sure there's nothing on them. This is Comey approving of the destruction of evidence as long as it's his party doing it. These are extremely and profoundly corrupt people.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
This is time that matters, a window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
That's what protecting your car could sound like with 303 Touchless Sealant. Just spray on a wet surface, rinse off, and dry. It's the sound of twice the protection as traditional waxes and insane water beading you have to see to believe.
Wait, this is radio, right?
Okay, moving on. 303 Touchless Sealant. Available now at AutoZone.
Tired of lying awake, tossing and turning, just hoping for a few hours of sleep? Get the sleep you crave with the one-of-a-kind Tempur-Pedic. Only Tempur-Pedic uses proprietary Tempur material that continuously adapts and responds to your body to relieve pressure. So you get deep, uninterrupted sleep all night, every night. The Tempur-Pedic Summer of Sleep is going on now. Take advantage of our best offer of the year and experience your best sleep of the summer. All Tempur-Pedic mattresses are on sale with select savings up to $500. Learn more at Tempur-Pedic.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, cleaner, safer drinking water. We got Chris in Cleveland.
Hey Culligan, I have a water pitcher. Is that safe?
Basic water pitchers are, let's say, passable, but a Culligan reverse osmosis system can do way more and help reduce lead, arsenic, something called pesticide runoff.
Hey Culligan?
Yeah, Chris?
I'll take one of those reverse osmosis
to get the mostest out of your drinking water. Chris, we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Right now, we all feel a little disconnected. For seniors living alone, the isolation can be overwhelming. Connect with an older loved one and have the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Michael just reminded me of and shared with me a fact check. I just had James Comey, not calling it bleach bit, but calling it something else. George Stephanopoulos, Clinton administration official, not calling it bleach bit, but calling it something else. And here's an NBC fake news fact check from October 9th, 2016. President Trump running for president. The election would be less than a month later. And here's the NBC fact check. The claim. Trump says Clinton, quote, acid washed, end quote, her email server. The truth. That's in giant letters. The truth. Clinton's team used an app called BleachBit. She did not use a corrosive chemical. So they rate it false. Their ruling is nope. Nope. That's their ruling. N-O-P-E. They're illiterate. And by the way, bleach is also a corrosive chemical, even though it's an app. He was referring to an app, not acid wash. But this is our media. And then James Comey, you got to keep in mind, old J. Edgar Comey. This guy is a very serious crook. While he was FBI director and should have been fired immediately if the president had followed my advice, none of this would have happened. Should have fired him the day that he took office. Comey was undermining him while the president was president-elect, James Comey. Obama's FBI director meeting with Obama in the Oval Office, talking about sabotaging General Flynn, talking about sabotaging the president of the United States, engaged in a criminal conspiracy against the duly elected president of the United States. That's the January 5th Oval Office meeting. Joe Biden was there. James Comey was there. Barack Obama was there. Others were there. And James Comey went up to New York to give President-elect Trump a so-called intelligence briefing. It was a counterintelligence operation being run by the Obama Justice Department against the duly elected president of the United States. That's what was going on. It was a very criminal enterprise, the biggest scandal in history of the United States. And Comey went to Trump Tower to brief President-elect Trump. And he asked everybody else to leave the room after his phony, corrupt, dishonest briefing. And then he, because he had to let Trump in on the secret about the dossier. And he lied to the president about the dossier and withheld information that it was Hillary Clinton's opposition research. And then he leaked it to the New York Times through his friend, the law professor in New York, which is a criminal act. He says it was his diary. That's a lie. Leaked it, let CNN and others go ahead with the dossier story, which was fake. Then he lied to the FISA courts about it, too.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.